about. You gotta put it in
perspective. This must be what the kids call a booty call.
I haven't been out of the house since 2004, and even I know the kids don't call it that anymore.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they called Gichigami. The lake, it is said, never gives up her date when the skies of November turn gloomy.
Dean, you're a f***ing asshole. I wish you were on the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald freak.
So what you're saying is you kind of liked
it? I don't know, that's a toss-up.
Kevin, I'm asking you, one day, can't you just be nice for one day?
And now...
Hey, this is Lisa May. I'll be there pounding some brews.
I would do her in a minute with fudge and cherry on top.
Our feature presentation.
Not sure what that means, but I would too.
It sounds fun to me.
Sounds good.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Monday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
Ooh. Why'd you bring Boner in today?
I have to take my aunt downtown, and I didn't think I'd get home in time to walk.
Where's
the poor
Boner?
Guy? He's in the other room in the crate. He'll come in and visit you.
Fantastic.
I have to figure out how to get the bell off.
He has a bell?
A little bell so you don't step on him.
Sure.
Did you sew it into his fur? How difficult could it be to take a collar off a dog?
It's one of these collars that doesn't have a snap. You have to...
And you know the Kevin and Bean master plan. If somebody says, hey, dogs aren't allowed, you say...
There's no dog here.
There's no dog.
Right. Although from the photos I've seen at KevinandBean.com, you could almost pull off that he's not a dog but a rat.
Yeah. A rat?
Yeah, I actually could.
But then they'd call an exterminator. You don't want that.
No.
Yeah.
That would be sad. I brought this cool carrying case.
Cool can it be?
It's got a skull on it.
It's got a skull on it.
That's pretty cool, right?
How about that?
You can carry him anywhere in this thing.
Huh. That's designer. Because Boner is so badass.
Yeah.
That's like the size of a wallet, though. How small is your dog?
He's about that big.
Tiny Boner.
Tiny Boner.
Yeah, very small.
I personally would want a bigger Boner.
Of course.
Yes. So have you handled your Boner quite a bit?
I have. I went to Boner school over the weekend.
Sweet. I didn't know there was Boner
there
school.
Is.
I like to teach.
I'm getting... Oh, yeah. You should teach...
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I
see
have no
idea. See
what I'm
saying? Get the context? Reading between the lines?
I'm going to be an expert by the time this is done.
Please.
You were an expert long before this dog was born.
I'm going to be even better.
This is your specialty. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting Boner, and I hope we'll be able to put some new pictures up today of Boner visiting at work.
I'm sure.
Bean has always been looking forward to meeting Boner.
Yeah.
That's the name of Lisa's dog.
Lisa's dog, right.
Of course.
Quick story today, not a sensational crime story or anything like that, but I thought this was fascinating. You know, first thing that happens when society breaks down here in the good old United States of America is, natural disaster happens or a riot breaks out. What's the first thing that we as citizens do, Kevin?
Get a TV, right?
Get us a TV,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the first thing we do.
Right.
Same thing we just saw all over the news in London recently. Hey, there's a disturbance, with the police there. I'm going to take this as an opportunity to, rob people and steal stuff.
Yeah.
And
you would have never thought of it otherwise. It's not like
exactly.
You're plotting and looking for the right time. It just happens.
The opportunity presents itself and you go for it. You, you get free stuff. Well, there's an interesting story in Japan about the results of the after effects of the earthquake and tsunami that happened on March the 11th. Listen to this. Thousands of wallets containing a total of $48 million in cash have been found and turned in to authorities.
What?
Since March.
$48
really?
Million dollars in cash. In addition, more than 5,000 safes containing over $30 million in cash have also turned up and have been turned in to authorities. This headline of this article says that more than $78 million has been returned by ethical residents since the tsunami on March 11th to authorities.
Wow, are they better people than me?
They're better people than us,
I mean,
I think.
I'd turn in part of it.
You'd get a finder's fee, though, right?
But they're carrying around $48 million in their wallets?
Yeah. Well, it says thousands of wallets, but even at that, it seems like some of those wallets must have had a tremendous amount of money in them. That's what I was wondering, too.
Hey, you got 20 bucks, whatever their money is. You got 20 bucks? Yeah, I got 20 million. You need it?
This says that it's over 2.3 billion yen in cash has been returned to its owners, showing the high level of ethical awareness of the Japanese people. Doing the right thing doesn't just end with the people who found the money. Japanese officials have worked tirelessly to track down the owners and return the safes and other valuables. Apparently, they're going through, you know, all of the missing person reports, checking through all the evacuation centers.
Wow.
Meeting with authorities in every town to see if they can find cell phone numbers on the people. The biggest problem they say they're having is the money that's been found that belongs to people who are no longer with us.
Yeah.
You know, people who are gone because, you know, quite a few people died in the storm. But isn't that just crazy to think about? I mean, a wallet washes up on a beach. And they have that ABC news special show they do, that 2020 show called What Would You Do? Put a camera on 100 people that find a wallet that washes up on the beach and see how many of them go out of their way to try to find the person that owns it and give it back.
I got to tell you, I think the U.S. is one of the most generous countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think we would fail that test. I mean,
I think you're right.
At least from these standards, you know, with that much money and that much, that's crazy.
I think we're generous as a people.
Yes.
But maybe we there's a very much a negative side to a large number of the individuals who live in the country.
Yeah, I mean, if I found a wallet and it washed up and it had, I don't know how much they carry around, for God's sake.
They must not charge as much as we do.
$50,000 or something in it. You know, I turn in $25,000 and I go, hey, I found a wallet with $25,000. Do I get a reward?
You know, I still want a reward.
You keep the 25 and want a reward.
So 50-50. You think finders keepers is 50-50%.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that's probably what I would do.
Fair. That's fair.
To be honest.
Better than nothing.
Well, right.
Interesting story, though. I mean, look, we're drawing conclusions here, but who knows? Maybe there was twice that was washed up that was never turned in.
Oh, that's true.
You know, we don't know the other side of the equation.
How much money are they carrying around? What's happening?
Maybe they don't do banks over there. I don't know. It does seem like an awful lot, though. $78 million.
Those are gigantic wallets for...
For tiny little people.
Tiny little people. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to.
Leave it to Bean. He'll take care of it.
That's like a 100-pound wallet.
It is.
What's happening here?
Oh, that's...
Hey, give me a hand here. I want to take my wallet out to the car.
Yeah. I need a cart. I need a shopping cart. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That is an astute observation, Kevin.
Thank you. On today's program, we have Dana White from the UFC.
Oh, yeah.
Asshole.
He's got, what?
I wouldn't say that to his face.
He's coming into the studio. He's going to tell us all about the new UFC deal that they made with Fox.
Radio, right?
No, Fox TV and...
Oh, Fox Television.
And FX. Yeah, the whole shebang.
Sweet.
And I've never, ever in my life said the whole shebang. I don't think.
I don't think you have.
So anyway, we're going to talk to him. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Mm-hmm. Telling us all about the celebrities over the weekend.
Sure, he had his people in place for the Kardashian Humphreys wedding.
I'm sure. Oh, did he run? Did he get out of there? Did you hear?
I didn't.
Or did he get married?
I didn't hear that he did. Through with it? So I think.
Oh no,
married.
They're married.
No,
they're
poor
married.
Bastard. Bean got his credit card stolen and used.
Hacked, though. Not even stolen. Hacked.
Hacked.
Oh my gosh.
So, meaning you still have the
physical. The card, right? Yeah.
But I was able to buy a lot. I mean, somebody was able to buy a lot of stuff on it. We also have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. We have there's a new movie coming out called Our Idiot Brother. And we have Adam Scott on that. That's in that movie. We're going to talk to him.
Asshole.
That's true. That's science. And your parents found out something that perhaps you should have told them. Maybe you should have given him a call and given him a heads up. Like,
maybe they found out from somebody else that you were married, for instance, or in prison, for instance.
Well,
or dropped out of college, for instance.
But see, prison, I could see not wanting to tell your parents. Let's say you're overseas or whatever, you know, you're going to school.
But they still shouldn't hear about it from somebody else.
Someone who worked here, I believe, whose name I will not say.
Okay, I will.
Went to jail.
Yes.
And never told their parents.
Ooh, who is that?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's
who is
true.
That?
Can't say it on the air.
Well, we can't say Psycho Mike. I mean, what?
Might know.
So anyway, Bean had surgery, and apparently Bean's wife put it on Facebook, and then Bean's brother read it, and then Bean's brother called Chief, Bean's dad, mm-hmm. and then Bean's dad called Bean and said, hey, how about that?
How about a heads up, son? Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have told me? And Bean said, didn't think it was a big deal. Well, you know, I'm your dad. Surgery, you know.
Always a risk.
You don't want to worry old people, though. They're so close to death anyway.
Yeah.
Why give them one more thing to worry
about? You don't really want to piss them off, either.
That's true.
That's true, too.
Because I'll give them a heart attack.
And you're so close to the will being read. Now is when you ought to be nice to them.
Yeah, that's true. And more tickets for you for our Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, along with some new Red Hot Chili Peppers music.
Wow.
This morning. We have two new songs to play off the new CD. And we'll tell you all about how they're going to stream it today and how you can listen to the whole thing.
Okay.
So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. A quick break, and then we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Our first look at the Showbiz Beat. How was your weekend, Ralph?
It was spectacular.
What'd you do? Anything fun?
No, not really. Did some stuff around the house.
But it's spectacular because you didn't have to get up in the middle of the goddamn night and come to work.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
For me personally. No, we had a good night.
That was a podcast.
Hollywood Babylon was great. Catherine Reitman came by to be my special guest star because Kevin Smith, my usual partner on that show, was hosting and running his Red State movie, which started this weekend for a week's run here in Los Angeles. And they were sold out for the movie over weekend. Fantastic. At the New Beverly Theater on Beverly Boulevard.
Fantastic.
Not coincidentally enough. And that continues on. In fact, it's for the rest of the week. He'll be showing the film. I think there are two shows tonight, a 6:30 show and I believe a 9, I want to say. Anyway, the 6:30 show, I will be attending the Q&A tonight.
Oh, great.
So if you want to come out and see Red State, which I recommend highly, it's a movie that we're real proud of. It is 6:30 at the New Beverly. And I will be doing the Q&A with Kevin Smith after that early screening. You can go to coopersdell.com to buy your tickets, or I'm sure you can buy them at the box office as well. But come on out and see us at the New Beverly and see the movie and get the bejesus scared out of you by me being bad.
We do that every day.
Ha ha! You see? That's why Bean is the king of radio.
Is he?
Yeah, didn't you hear over the weekend?
No,
gave him the King of Radio Award.
Didn't hear that.
Very happy. And the Celebrity Bowler of Radio, too. He got that award. It's Monday. That's why we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to tell you what people are going to see in the theaters. And apparently they wanted to see white people being nice to black people. One white person being nice to black people. It's called The Help.
The Help.
It's about a young girl who writes a book from the point of view of the African-American maids who work in the Deep South in the early 60s. Not an easy position to be in. And she expresses their fears and dreams and hopes.
Everybody I've talked to that has seen that is just raving.
It's getting great reviews.
I saw it over the weekend, loved it.
Performances are all strong, according to many. So a lot of people went to see it. $20.5 million made it number one this weekend.
Right, you don't see a movie very often debut at number two and then the next week move up to number one. Usually, you know, your best week is going to be your first week.
WOM, my friends. That's what we call it in the business.
WOM.
Word of mouth.
Yes.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes was number two at the box office, $16.3 million. Then Spy Kids 4D in its debut made $12 million. That was good enough to make it number
three. We're my Fright Night people.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, we got to... We got a ways to go. Yet.
I thought it would at least be next.
Conan the Barbarian, in its debut, made $10.5 million disappointing dollars. It was number four on the list. And then Fright Night showed up on the list at number five. In its debut, made $8.3 million.
That's surprising.
Putting it just in the top five.
That is surprising.
Because the Smurfs made $8 million. That made them number six. Final Destination 5, 30 minutes or less. One Day, in its debut, the new Anne Hathaway movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Was a ninth on the list with $5.1 million. And then Crazy Stupid Love came in at number 10. Congratulations to Donald Faison of Scrubs. He has proposed to his girlfriend, Casey Cobb. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you, it's because maybe you watched The Newlyweds on MTV when they had that Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey reality show. Casey Cobb was Jessica Simpson's assistant and best friend for many years. They've been dating for 6 years.
Oh, my gosh.
If you're a girl, do you wait for your fella to propose after 6 years?
It's a good question.
That seems lengthy.
Depends on what age you are, though. I mean, if you're young, probably.
I guess. Yeah, you got time to kill, right? It seems waiting 6 years for a guy to pop the question.
Yeah.
Seems a little lengthy.
Well, he's a doctor, though. I mean, you wait longer for an actual doctor.
Boy. It's just a TV show. Really?
Really? TV. Oh, I thought that was real. Sorry.
Congratulations to Baywatch babe Nicole Eggert. She gave birth to a baby girl. She has a 12-year-old as well. That's a difference there, having a newborn and a 12-year-old at the same time.
Yeah.
And, of course, all everybody was talking about this weekend, and by everybody, I mean the Kardashians. They were talking about Kim's marriage to Chris Humphries. They are officially man and wife. People Magazine reports the two said, "I do," in front of 440 of their closest friends and family last night. And by closest friends and family, I mean celebrities that they barely know.
Right.
Avril Lavigne, Sugar Ray Leonard, Babyface.
Did they just invite all celebrities? They just put out a casting call for all celebrities?
Lindsay, Dina, and Ali Lohan. Eva Longoria. You know, the usual suspects. Hmm. By the way, they have just announced that they are selling their wedding pictures to People Magazine for $1.5
million. Not a surprise.
So they're going to make money on the deal. And who do you think is the worst celebrity tipper? We do this from time to time. We open the phone lines and have people who work in the service industry call in and say who was a disappointing tipper of the big celebrities. You'd think these people are rich, they're famous, they got it all. They could spot you 20% on whatever their tab is, at least.
I'm going with Bieber.
You think?
Sure.
Let's see. Number 10 on the list, Rachel Ray.
That's kind of surprising.
Why?
Well, I just think of her as sort of like the everyman, knows how it is to work in a kitchen, knows how hard people work. You'd think she'd tip pretty good.
Yeah, this is from a list of national food service workers.
Okay.
And they say not only does she not tip in real life, but she actually promotes the less than 20% tip on her show.
What?
Wow, she is aggressive in trying to screw these people over.
Do you know?
Yeah, I don't know why she does that, but she doesn't believe in, apparently, the 20% tip. Bill Cosby is number 9 on the list.
What?
Once left a $3 tip on a $350 bill.
That's just shameful.
You're not getting a good tip from me.
Maybe he's just bad at math.
Maybe. Sean Penn once stiffed a waiter on a $450 tab in New Orleans. Zero.
Zero.
Whoa. No tip.
Wow.
Wow.
Mariah Carey is famous for her diva demands and no tipping. Usher, number 6 on the list, once left his autograph as a tip.
No way.
Did it.
Are you kidding?
Did that. Jeremy Piven once left an autographed Entourage DVD as his tip.
Oh, my God.
Behind on the table.
Talking about, he brings that in to eat?
Apparently he had one there handy and said, well, this will be more than what the tip should be. This is a value.
Wow.
LeBron James, very cheap. According to waiters.
Well, he doesn't have a lot of money.
Once left $10 on an $800 bill at a restaurant. Barbara Streisand, despite giving to charity, is not a good tipper. Once left $10 on a $475 tab. Madonna! Wow. Madonna!
Madonna.
Once left an $18 tip on a $400 tab. That's less than 5% if you're doing the math. And lastly, the number one, according to waiters and waitresses, cheapest celebrity... It's in the world of sports. I'll give you that much.
World of sports. Baseball, football, basketball.
None of the big four.
None of the big four.
You had a big celebrity. Put on your thinking caps, folks.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods, Lisa, correct.
Nicely done.
He once, and this is an amazing story, he repocketed a tip. That takes some balls.
What does that mean?
Means a waitress brought him some cocktails. He pulled out a $5 tip for her, but then he realized and said out loud, oh, I had tipped you earlier in the evening, and put the $5 back in his pocket.
What happened?
Pulled a mulligan, basically.
Why? You don't get a mulligan on a tip.
Repocketed the tip. Pulled it out, went to give it to her. Oh, I gave you a little something earlier. Back in the tab.
Did you say it was a $5 bill?
$5 bill.
Well, that would have broken him.
Well, it was, Lisa, because he was sitting at a blackjack table, and apparently he was playing $10,000 a hand.
Wow.
Couldn't muster up the gumption to hand a fiver off to the young lady dropping off his free drinks.
What happened?
Oh, you deserve everything you get, Woods. Everything. I had a nine iron. Ooh. Today's celebrity birthdays. Legendary football coach Bill Parcells is 70 years old today. Singer Tori Amos is 48. Haven't heard much from Tori lately. Ty Burrell, very funny actor, plays the dad on Modern Family. How great is he?
Oh, he is great.
Brilliantly funny, talented guy. He is 44 years old today. And comedian, actress, old buddy of mine, Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live and from Bridesmaids, celebrates her 38th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, by the way, is happening soon. It turns out it's a pretty big deal. We're starting to hear from people all over the world saying, you don't know how much of a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan I am, and you don't know how much I have to be there. But you can't buy these tickets. The only way you can get them is to win them. And we're giving them away at least the first part of this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we're going to world premiere brand new Red Hot Chili Peppers songs for you today from the forthcoming album. Did you see they moved the album release date up a day now?
Did.
It's coming out on Monday now instead of Tuesday.
And they're streaming it today.
So how about that?
You can go to
You can go to Kevin and Bean.
Don't buy it? Is that what we're saying?
No.
Go to KevinandBean.com for more info.
So we'll have the first of two brand new Chili Pepper songs for you on today's Kevin and Bean Show coming up next hour right here.
Let's play them now. This would be interesting. I'd love to hear those songs.
Well, we're doing something else we got planned here.
Let's play the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
We can't bump this. We can't bump the wheel. It's the wheel of bad animal voices. There's so many good animal stories.
No, they're not.
Can't track them all down.
Rarely is there one good one.
We have the Finnish Hitler mocking dog. Put these all on a wheel. We spin it. It lands. We make a call. Try to get some more information.
I bet every time.
The prehistoric mega wombat.
No, let's call back in history and talk to something that's prehistoric. That's what you're saying out loud.
Otis the skydiving pug.
Dogs don't skydive.
The death-defying ninja squirrel.
Dumb.
The two-headed snake at odds with itself.
Not at odds.
Heavy metal Aussie great white shark.
Sharks don't listen to music.
World's wooliest sheep in heaven.
Yeah, let's call a dead sheep that happens to be a little woolier than others. That is a story you need to get to the bottom of.
Well, maybe we will, Ralph, damn if that's you. Where it lands today.
God,
you don't know, man.
Damn you.
Kittler. The cat that looks like Hitler.
What must it be like for poor Kittler? I want to talk to Kittler.
It's like nothing. He just eats his kibble and sleeps.
The South Korean glow-in-the-dark beagle. We've got the slutty horse with herpes.
Oh, man.
Aww.
We have the dumpster diving. Can't read my own writing.
Good times.
Yep. We have.
Well, that's worth getting in the bottom of. You love that story so much that you have no idea what it is.
Bear. That's what it is. Dumpster diving.
Aren't all bears dumpster divers?
Of course they are. They're just looking for garbage
to
eat.
Hobo bear.
It's a hobo bear. It's my own writing. Completely different.
It's a hobo bear.
That's my own writing.
He's got a little stick with a little kerchief tied to the end of it with all his belongings.
That's correct, yes.
And he walks along the railway systems.
Jumps on a train every once in a while.
Yeah. Screw you.
Let's spin the wheel. Come on, people.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. It's gonna land.
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad. But Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right. Here's your last chance.
Very excited.
Take your hand off that wheel. Take your hand off that wheel. This is your last chance.
For what?
To do the right thing.
To fail? No
to
way.
To do the right thing.
Ah, there it goes. Good spin.
There we go.
Good spin.
Good spin, everybody. Good spin.
I think the world's worst game show.
Otis, the skydiving pug.
No.
Oh, yeah,
no.
Awesome.
No.
You're not interested in a pug that skydives?
No. I'm leaving.
That is a brave dog.
That is right. You are a bad human being.
Torture.
Ralph, you like dogs. You want to hear about this? Come on. Come back.
Otis.
Yes.
The pug hangs out at the parachute center. Mm-hmm. In Acampo, which apparently is near Stockton.
Okay.
The 10-year-old dog grew up on the drop zone chasing airplanes and hanging out with skydivers. And apparently a guy named Will
DeSilva.
Yes. Took him skydiving. This dog goes skydiving.
Wow.
A pug. Can you imagine how mind-blowing that must be for a pug? I don't know. First of all, what's an airplane? Second of all, why are we jumping out of it?
Seems like it'd be really scary.
You would think.
But the thing about a pug is you can't tell whether he's scared or not because they always look scared. They've always got that look on their face like, oh my God, what's happening here? But the article says that Otis enjoys skydiving.
Right.
How do we know that if his owner is dragging him onto the plane on a leash and then jumping out of a plane with him? We don't know whether Otis likes this or not.
So we figured we would call the skydiving center and just see if we can find out some more information about that.
Okay.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this the skydiving center in Acampo?
Yeah, well, you called the right number, but we're actually in a plane right now.
You're in a plane?
Yeah. Man.
Who's this?
Is this Will De Silva?
No, this is Otis.
What? Oh, you're Otis the Pug.
Yeah. I had to answer Will's phone. He's jumped. He's already jumped right now.
Oh, he's already gone.
Wait, yeah.
I thought you jumped in tandem with him.
Yeah, usually I do, but today's my first solo jump. I'm very excited.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Now, Otis, maybe you can explain to us how you feel about skydiving all the time, because apparently this is, when the article was written, you had already skydived 64 times.
Oh, I love it. It's my favorite thing ever.
Is it really?
Oh, it's amazing. You're out there with the wind in your fur, and you get to jump out of it. Hey, you ever seen a dog hang his head out of a window?
All the time.
Well,
sure.
Imagine that going like 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You get
but
that wind in your face, and your tongue's hanging out, and you can smell everything. Ah, it's the best.
Although your tongue is always hanging out because you're a pug, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
That old pug thing.
How long till you jump?
I can go anytime.
Oh, okay.
Right. I just heard the phone ring. That's why I didn't jump. I figured I'd answer the phone.
How do you pull the chute?
Ah, it's easy. I just use my hands. Here we go.
You don't have...
All right.
Woo! You don't have hands.
This is amazing.
Wow, we're actually talking to a dog while he's skydiving.
I have no opposable thumb.
Hello?
Otis?
So sad. No opposable thumb.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 23 minutes after 6 o'clock. Don't forget, you get to vote the greatest K-Rock sticker of all time. Pick it up at any Del Taco, and you could win a trip to see Coldplay in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Shut up.
Dude.
What's happening with that?
Sweet.
Wow. The world-famous K-Rock, 623.
So I understand you went to the movies over the weekend and to enjoy a little bluegrass music. Is that what the plan was?
I wasn't thinking when I went to see Fright Night that I would hear...
If you haven't got problems, I feel bad for your son. I got 99 problems and a bitch ain't one.
I wasn't expecting the banjo treatment for 99 problems.
Wow. But isn't that what Jay-Z's songs have always been lacking? Is that enough, not enough banjo?
Yeah, I have a strict no banjo policy.
Tip my hat to the sun in the west.
Weird, right?
I kind of like it, though.
Beans like
I like that a lot. I enjoy that album very much by a guy named Hugo. But that does bring us to the game at hand, because we are trying to give away some tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers Super Secret Breakfast. Super Secret location, date, and time. Celebrating the new album coming out Monday called I'm With You. We have bluegrass versions of Red Hot Chili Peppers songs. We're going to be playing for them. All you have to do is tell us what RHCP song are they doing in the bluegrass version. What's this game called, Kevin?
Yeehaw! Welcome to the Red Hot Hoedown, where we're going to play bluegrass versions of Red Hot Chili Peppers songs, and you have to tell us what they are. Yeehaw! And if you get some right, you're going to the breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeehaw!
Who should be saying yeehaw? Less than
no one. No one. Yeah. Absolutely no one. All right, now that we've explained the game twice, let's see how we do. Pat is going to be our first contestant on line one. We're only going to play the bluegrass version for you one time. Then you tell us what Chili Pepper song it is. Pat, good luck. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
There you go.
Listen up.
She was the girl.
Which RHCP song is that?
I can't think of the name of it. It's just a girl.
Girl is in the name, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
I know it's off of Blood Sugar Sex Magik. I just can't think of the name.
You want to take a guess? Please?
She's a girl.
Breaking the Girl is what we were looking for. Nice try, though, Pat.
She was a girl.
Okay,
girl, he was close. He was close. All right, how about Brenda, line two? Hey, Brenda, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play?
Yep.
All right, here's your song.
Blood loss in a bathroom stall. Southern girl with a scarlet drawl. Wave goodbye to Mom and Pa, cause with the birds I'll share. With the birds I'll share this lonely view.
All right, what song is that?
That would be Scar Tissue.
Yes, it would be.
Blood loss in a bathroom stall.
That's bad.
That was terrible.
Those versions are bad.
Brenda, you are at the breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Be prepared to hear them play and get a chance to interview them along with us coming up soon. Let's try Enrique, line three. Enrique, you ready to play the Red Hot Hoedown?
Yes, I am.
That last one was bad, right?
Yes, that was not good.
All right,
it was not good.
Here's your song.
Marry me, go.
girl, be my fairy to the world, be my very own constellation. A teenage bride with a baby inside, getting high on information. Buy me a star on the boulevard.
There you go. Which song?
Californication.
Yeah. Buy me a star on the boulevard.
Nicely done. You're going to the breakfast.
All right, let's try Noah. Noah on line four. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Red Hot Hoedown. How have you been doing listening on hold so far?
I got them all.
Yep.
All okay.
Right. Kiss of death.
Way to go.
That's right. Way to jinx yourself. Here's the song.
Steak knife. Fart shark. Fun job. Boot cut. Skip that twitch. You're such a little DJ to get there quick. My street, but not the freeway. Turn that trick and make a little leeway. Beat that name, but not the way that we play. Talk down.
Love that version. That actually lends itself perfectly.
Yeehaw. Noah, what do you think?
You know, I didn't hear any of that. It was all static.
Well, that's
all right,
a shame.
What's your guess then?
Give us a guess.
Man, I don't know. Can I hear it again?
Nope.
Please?
Nope. Give us a guess. Static. Just give us.
Actually, you heard it the same way all the other ones heard it too.
Knock me down.
Sorry.
By the way,
she's such a little DJ.
That is by the way, as that one was called. All right, we got time for a couple more. Maybe let's try Kevin, line five. Kevin's not usually very smart, but let's see how he does.
How dare you?
I mean, did I say that out loud?
Yeah. Hey, Kevin.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. Welcome to the hoedown. Here's your Red Hot Chili Peppers song. Tell us the title.
She sees my good deeds and she kisses me windy. I never worry. That is a lie.
I hate banjos.
Hey, where's Mumford and Sons when you need them?
No kidding.
Kevin, what do you think, dude?
No idea. Maybe Under the Bridge?
Oh! Under the Bridge it is.
She sees my good deeds.
How do you have no idea and then guess the exact one without even pausing? How do you have no idea, by the way, for that song? I mean, that song
exactly.
Is a monster song.
Virginia is up next. By the way, we are streaming Red Hot Chili Peppers songs from the new album every day this week on KevinBean.com. You'll get a chance to hear a new song. We'll be playing one on the radio for you in about an hour from right now if you want to hear some more from the new Red Hot Chili Peppers. Virginia, you ready to play?
Yes, I'm ready.
Good luck. Right.
Here's your song.
What I've got to give it to your mama. What I've got to give it to your papa. What I've got to give it to your daughter. You do a little dance and then you drink a little water. What I've got to get it, put it in you. What I've got to get it, put it in you.
Those people.
That has to be the easiest one, though, right?
Not really.
What? Come on.
What's your guess, Virginia?
I'm blank right now.
What I got, you gotta get it, put it in you.
That's unbelievable.
It did sound almost exactly the same as the real version, didn't it? The give it away is what we were looking for. All right, just one more. Let's see if we can get a final person into the breakfast for today. Ken is on line seven. Ken. Good luck to you. Red Hot Hoedown.
Yeah.
Here you go.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Chicka chicka dee dee like a banshee. Low brow, his house. Swimming in the sound of bow wow wow. Oh, baby, do me now. Do me here, I do a lot.
There you go.
That's terrible.
That is a terrible. These are all terrible.
What do you think, Ken?
That is pretty horrible. I'm going to go with Blood Sugar Sex Magic.
That was Suck My Kiss is what we were looking for. Nice try, though. But we do have another chance for you to win coming up tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeehaw! Thanks for playing the Red Hot Hoedown. Yeehaw!
Actor Adam Scott, who we love on Parks and Recreation and on the old Party Down show. He's in a new film called Our Idiot Brother. He's going to be joining us later on today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, I have to tell you guys, this is Bean speaking. I have not had a banner August. I will be pleased to see August go. You know, I got a stomach full of stitches right now, and I remember when you saw them at the Troubadour. You're a big fan of those, Kevin.
Oh, real good.
But I finally had the herniated belly button taken care of, so I've been walking around just in a lot of pain the last few days. And I did rip some stitches this week, and you'd be happy to know, because when your doctor says you shouldn't do stuff, they really mean you shouldn't do stuff. And you start to feel a little bit better, and then you go, oh, but I can lift this, or I can push that, or I can handle that, or I can move that. And the next thing you know, you're bleeding all over again.
Oh,
so I had that going on.
Great.
So I was confined to my couch at one point, and Donna said, "You're not allowed to get up. Yeah, you can't be trusted. You sit on that couch and don't move." She talks to me like I'm five at this point.
She needs to talk to you like you're five.
So I'm going through paying some bills and going through some paperwork and checking the mail and doing all that stuff. And I'm, as I want to do, I'm going through my my credit card bills that I get statements of, right? Mm-hmm. I got the auto pay, but I still go through the statements to make sure everything looks out.
Sure.
Looks pretty good, like you're supposed to. And all of a sudden, I'm looking through last month's bills, and I guess I didn't remember this because I have a bad memory, but apparently I'm vacationing in Europe right now.
What?
And that was a surprise to me to see all the charges around around in shops around London.
And you saw over, this on your credit card statement.
On my credit card bill, yes. And I thought, well, that's weird because you'd think that I would remember going to London and buying stuff there, but I really don't. So, of course, the next thing I do is I get on the phone with the Visa company, and it turns out, yeah, sure enough, I'm a victim of credit card fraud. Now, credit card fraud, I understand, is one of the biggest scams in the world right now. I mean, it's hard to find a person who hasn't been a victim. This was my first time, and I was frankly shocked by it. I don't know why.
It's so easy to do.
Well, because you just think that, I don't know, it doesn't happen to you because you're careful.
I don't know what possibly could have happened, but we wanted to find out some more details about how thieves get your credit cards and if there's anything we can or should be doing to stop them. So we asked producer Alex to line us up an expert, and sure enough, David Lazarus is on the phone. He is with the Los Angeles Times. He writes the Consumer Confidential column, which is twice a week in the paper on Wednesdays and Sundays. David, thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
I'm very good. I just want to say thank you up front for not making me talk about the whole herniated belly button thing.
Yes. Our pleasure. Yes. We've discussed that in too much detail already on the show.
I wish I had
pretty.
The same thanks, but I can't do it.
So, David, I was surprised to see I was in England. And I guess in a way I'm kind of lucky because this isn't – I mean, if my card had been stolen and used around Seattle where I lived, it may have been more difficult for me to prove to the Visa company that it wasn't something that I bought and I was just trying to get out of paying it. At least this way, it's fairly obvious that I wasn't in two places on the same day, right?
Yeah, that's true. Although even if it is closer to home, it's not going to be impossible to make the proof. For example, just a couple of years ago, I was at the gym in L.A. and had the credit cards lifted from my wallet while they were in the locker. And while I was working out, it turns out I was also shopping at Best Buy and shopping at Target.
All right.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Did you get some good stuff?
Well, somebody got some good stuff.
Okay, now in your case, you physically had your card taken. That wasn't the case with me. But let me start with your example, because this is confusing to me. When I go to Best Buy and buy something with my credit card, they want to see some ID. They want to see some backup that I'm, in fact, the person whose name is listed on the card. How was somebody able to lift your card where you're at the gym and go buy something without also lifting your driver's license?
Which is an excellent question, and oftentimes they're going to just be hoping that they're not going to get carded on the ID. It doesn't always happen. Also, primarily when you get ripped off on your credit cards or your credit card numbers, you're going to be ripped off online where there is no ID involved.
All right, now how does that work?
Well, somebody gets your credit card number, and then they're just off and running on the internet. Because
what percentage would you say of people with credit cards have them, the number or the card, stolen and used by somebody else at some point?
Well, right now, according to the Federal Trade Commission, identity theft, including credit card fraud, is the fastest growing crime in the country.
Wow.
And there's roughly 10 million victims every single year. So, you know, you can be extremely careful.
Yes. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
Yeah, back up.
I thought you said 10 million people a year.
Did I say 10 million? What I meant was 10 million people a year.
What?
And guys, I've had my identity stolen twice, and I'm like Mr. Consumer Advocacy. You know, you'd think that if anyone's careful, it's me, and I've gone to the cleaners twice.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's talk about the online then. The example that you use where somebody gets the credit card, they don't need to have an ID. But whenever I buy something on a website, they ask me for the super secret 3- or 4-digit number that's also in the card. They also want me to verify what the billing address is, and they check that before they let me buy something. The person who steals your stuff doesn't necessarily have both of those also, do they?
No, they obviously don't. But what they can do is try and take your number and apply it to a different false account, which can happen. A lot of credit card theft actually gets transpired through Eastern Europe, which, you know, basically a card number will be stolen. It will be sent to our friends in Estonia or Latvia or wherever, and the number will be recycled into a phony credit card with a phony account attached to it, and for all intents and purposes, it then has an active number, yours, that can be used to go shopping.
So you're saying that they actually make a physical credit card?
They make a with physical credit card. They can do that. They can also just simply use the number. And it's very hard to chase these guys down because they're outside of our jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So no matter how much the FBI or the CIA whines about it, you're not going to get the Estonian police to send out their little SWAT teams every time this happens.
Your most recent column in the Times, David Lazarus, is about ATMs, in particular how dangerous they can be. And you give some great advice in the column on what kinds of ATMs to advise and what kind of protocol you should have when using it. I never use an ATM. I mean, literally never. Whenever I need cash back, I get it from the grocery store. I just get extra cash, you know, on my ATM card at the grocery store. So that's not likely how they got my number. Where do you think they got mine from?
I'm guessing since you still have physical possession of your plastic that you got skimmed somewhere. And what that means, there are these little devices. They fit in your hand. They're actually really, really tiny. And somebody can take your credit card and they swipe the magnetic strip on the back right through this thing really surreptitiously. And it gets stored into a little tiny hard drive and then can be uploaded elsewhere. You know where this can frequently happen? And I hate to say it because I don't want to cast aspersions on all our friends in the service industry, but when you go to a restaurant,
really?
It's been known that the waiter or the waitress might have one of these things on their possession, and they might be skimming. That you know, it can happen there, but it can happen virtually at any retail encounter that you have.
So if somebody does that at the retail store, they skim it, nothing happens right then except for that they have the number. There's no charge, there's no anything, right? So is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay. And then later they use it somehow.
And oftentimes, now if it's going to be a small-scale thing that someone's just kind of ripping off your number, they're going to go on a fast-spending spree and in and out, and they're going to hopefully be done with it. If it's a more organized thing, like let's say, you know, Russian mob or something like that, they're going to amass thousands of credit card numbers, and then they're going to do some large-scale production of bogus credit cards with them and sell them to others, probably overseas.
When I was on the phone with the Visa fraud department, and by the way, they were terrific. I mean, it's clear that they have a lot of experience handling cases exactly like mine. And it sounded like there were dozens of people on calls with other people who were reporting fraud at the same time. I thought to myself, imagine how much money the credit card companies are losing compared to a few years ago. This has to be, I mean, and this has to eventually get passed down to all of us with interest rates and whatnot, right, David?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it's built into the system. You know, the other side of this is billions of credit card solicitations are sent out every year. Essentially, these guys go driftnet fishing to try and find new customers.
Right.
Obviously, there's going to be a lot of fraud anytime you're not very selective about who you're giving plastic to. So the whole business model is predicated on there being scads of fraud attached to it. Now, they try and make it easy for you. They try and say, look, if you're a victim, we're going to help you. You're not going to get stuck with the bill. And that's all well and good. But as you say, the costs come back to us in the higher interest rates and the other things that they use, the fees and whatnot, to keep their bottom line high. You know, this could be reduced if they weren't quite as generous in giving out plastics to so many people.
Is that true that Bean's example, if you go to your Visa company, that they will make you not pay it?
Oh, yeah, almost certainly. And virtually
that's
every
fantastic.
Bank as well is going to be the same way.
Well, I will tell you, David, and we're almost out of time here, sir, but the one thing that I'm glad to be able to pass along to our listeners, because I'm so grateful that I caught it, is to take a look at your statement when you get it, whether you look at your statement online every month or if you actually get a paper statement in the mail. It is worth taking that 30 seconds to open it and just skim it and make sure you don't see anything that jumps out at you like I did. I mean, that would be the best advice I would give to people.
Just to see if you're in Europe?
Just to see if you're in Europe and what kind of time you're having.
Yeah,
exactly.
Let me give you one more tip, too, and sure. That is everyone is entitled to a free copy of their credit report from each of the big agencies, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. You can go to a website called annualcreditreport.com, and if you space out a report from each of the agencies 4 months apart, you can actually oversee your credit files for free on an annual basis.
Huh.
Annualcreditreport.com, that's the name?
You betcha.
Fantastic. David Lazarus with the Los Angeles Times. He writes the Consumer Confidential column. You can follow him on Twitter at LA Times Lazarus. David, thank you so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
My pleasure.
Thanks.
Spicings up with the Subway featured $5 foot long of August. It's the buffalo chicken. Tender chicken, boldacious buffalo sausage.
What?
Boldacious
what?
Buffalo
what are you
sauce.
What?
No idea. And creamy ranch on freshly baked bread. It's this month only. Hurry in for the buffalo chicken foot long sub for only $5. Subway, eat fresh. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:54.
That was odd.
Lisa's got some heavy breathation going on today. I don't know what's happening here. It's a Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome Ralph Garman in for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, lots of things. Before I get to the Showbiz news, I would like to bring in a guest, a friend of mine, to give away something. You know, I like to give away stuff here, the Movie Beat. I'm going to be giving away, well, I won't be doing it. This is going to be a special event to see the movie Scarface.
Oh.
And so I thought I would bring in my old friend and co-star from Two for the Money, Mr. Al Pacino, to give away this.
Oh, Al Pacino's here. Yeah. That's fantastic news.
This is exciting.
Oh, thank you so much.
What a great surprise.
Oh, Kevin and Bean.
Scarface,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
How are you?
Big time radio. Look at you two. Ooh, you're so ugly.
Yeah, true. That's why it's radio.
That's all right. Oh. Come on now.
We're excited to have you on the show.
Well,
today.
I'm only here to give away something from Universal Home Entertainment.
All right.
Ooh, ah. Scarface on Blu-ray. Because we're celebrating the anniversary of the film. And so, you can win the Blu-ray and a pair of passes to see the movie up on the big screen.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is where I think it belongs. Oh.
If you haven't seen Scarface yet, you must.
Oh.
You must.
Come on now, with the gangsters and the blow. Ooh-ah. One night only. Wednesday, August the 31st, that's when it's going to be on the big screen. So if you'd like to go to that and own it on Blu-ray, call now! What's the number, Ralph?
It's 1-800.
1-800.
520.
520.
1067.
Oh, 1067. Ooh. Call now! Call!
They're calling.
Call now!
They're calling already.
Oh. First person through.
Fantastic.
Call number one.
All right. Thank you, Al.
All right, then.
Nice to see you, sir.
Glad to have you on the show.
I'm going to go now.
Okay. Right. Well, you did.
I got a limo waiting and several scantily clad teenage girls.
I don't doubt it.
Teenage, you mean 18.
18 and over, right?
That's teen, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Come on now.
Just right. Clarifying.
That's with all. The statutory rape.
All right. You better step out now, actually.
Well, you better step out now.
Okay. I'll go too.
Oh. First, you get the money. Then you get the power.
Right.
Then you get the women.
Uh-huh.
I got it all, fellas.
You do.
Yes, you do.
In that limo right now.
Yep. What happened to Ralph? Where's Ralph?
He's right here.
Okay.
He talks when I let him talk.
Okay.
Wow.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
Gotta go.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye, Al.
Yeah,
thanks for stopping by.
See you later. Wow, that guy's intense.
He's even early morning. Doesn't need much coffee. He's got a lot of energy, that guy.
Kind of creepy, actually.
Nice surprise.
Yes. It's Monday, and we're talking about movies. So the first top 10 movies, rather, at the box office this weekend. The first on that list is The Help. $20.5 million made it number one this weekend. That's what everybody went to see. Rise of the Planet of the Apes came in at number two with $16.3 million. Then Spy Kids 4D made $12 million in its debut weekend. Conan the Barbarian. Not a great opening weekend for that film. $10.5 million. A lot of disappointing openings this weekend. Fright Night only made $8.3 million.
What?
Made it number five. The Smurfs, Final Destination 5. 30 Minutes or Less. Another debut one day, the new Anne Hathaway movie. Made $5.1 million, made it number nine on the list, and Crazy Stupid Love, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Charlie Sheen is apparently getting back together with his ex-wife, Brooke Mueller.
No. Say no.
How stupid is she?
No kidding. That can't be possible.
He tweeted that he was heading to Mexico for a romantic getaway with his ex, Brooke Mueller. And apparently they hammed it up for cameras and took a lot of pictures while they were on the beach there in Mexico. TMZ.com reports he wanted to treat his third ex-wife to a vacation for her birthday because he wanted to celebrate the fact that she'd done so well in rehab.
I will love you violently.
Well, the quickest way to get her back into drinking and drugs, I think, is for you to spend an extended period of time with her, Charlie.
No kidding.
Now, this can't just be they're being civil to one another because of the children and we're trying to create this big romance over a photograph. It's not one of those deals.
I'm sorry. Let me try this again. Charlie tweeted this weekend that he was headed to Mexico for a romantic getaway with Brooke Mueller. That was his tweet.
No.
He tweeted that.
Right.
But I'm not.
Do we?
Wow. Al, get back in here.
No, we don't need Al. We don't have that kind of time.
Why is Bean making up stories?
No, I'm not at all.
I'm listening. He does. I heard what he said.
Just clarification.
Oh,
is all
romantic. That means one thing to me.
Right.
Gotta get back to the limo.
I know you do. Thank you, Al. Yeah. Good to see you.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate that. Let's take a look at the celebrity birthdays this morning. It is on a piece of paper that I hold somewhere in my hand. Here it is. Football coach, legendary football coach Bill Parcells. He of the, most famously, New York Giants, but also the Dolphins and the Pats. 70 years old today. Tori Amos, 48 years old. Ty Burrell of Modern Family. He is so funny on that show. He's 44 years old today. And comedian, actress, and friend of mine, Kristen Wiig. I know her so well, I could almost pronounce her first name. Well, Kristen Wiig is her name. She is 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Foster the People coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. Got some Green Day and world premiere yet another brand new song from the Red Hot Chili Peppers called Monarchy of Roses. Their song titles can't just be I Love You, right? They have to be Monarchy of Roses.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, new Chili Peppers coming up later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Remember a couple of weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago or so, when Adam Scott was in studio with us here, Kevin?
No.
Remember the line of ladies down the hall peering through the glass at Mr. Scott? Do you remember how demasculating that was for us? Do you remember how we felt like dog food that day? Do you remember that?
Dude, we're used to it.
Well, thank God Adam Scott is back on the show, but this time he's on the phone, so we're safe. Hey, Adam, how are you, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very well, thank you.
It's going great. I can't believe...
I don't remember a line of ladies going down the hall.
Oh, there were. Believe me, they were licking the glass, Adam. It was kind of embarrassing, to be honest.
Oh, my God. If I had known that, I would have been there in person today. Are you kidding?
Well, it's great to have you back. Now, you've got this movie, Our Idiot Brother, that we want to talk about that comes out on Friday. You already have another movie coming out later this year. And do I read correctly that you have 4 movies in the shoot already for 2012?
Well, I guess so. I guess that's the way it's shaping up. Yeah, it sort of happened that way because, you know, I had a long break from Parks and Recreation this year, so I was able to fit more in than usual.
Yeah, but take it easy. You're making the rest of us look bad.
You seem like the kind of guy who's, oh, I have a month off? Great, I'll go make 4 movies. It's just, it's insane. Now, let's be honest. How good is Our Idiot Brother compared to the other movies you're going to be in the next year and a half?
Our Idiot Brother is hilarious. I mean, I'm not in it that much, but the people that are in it a lot, which is Paul Rudd, Elizabeth Banks, Zoe Deschanel, and Emily Mortimer, and Rashida Jones, all those people are totally amazing. I show up here and there and just, like, wink at the other characters and then leave. I have, like, a really easy job. Everyone else in the movie is totally amazing.
You know, it's so funny. The ladies that you mentioned, Emily Mortimer, Elizabeth Banks, Zoe Deschanel, and I know you've worked with people like, you know, Maya Rudolph and Kristen Wiig. It seems to me like we're in the golden age of hot chicks who are hilarious. I don't remember there being this many at any other time that it comes to mind.
I know. I totally agree with you. And Amy Poehler, Lizzie Kaplan, all these like really, really hot girls that are super, super hilarious. I think you're right. There's something going on right now where, it's just a terrific time for them, and you know what's great is that there's a market for them, so they all have like jobs and they're in great movies and making shows, and I think we're lucky as audience members that we're in this period right now.
And Paul Rudd is no slouch, right?
No, he's
in the heat department, you know. Who's with him?
Paul Rudd is a really, really hot girl.
He's the hottest girl. Now, did they? I've seen the trailer, of course, the hilarious commercials that they're playing on television for Our Idiot Brother. Did Paul Rudd fatten up for this role, or is it my imagination?
I don't think so. I think that with the long hair and the beard kind of make it seem that way. But I don't think he did. Because I know that every chance he gets, if he needs to fatten up for a role, he he takes it.
Sure.
I don't think he did for this one.
Okay. How idiot is he? He's not actually retarded, right? He just is clueless?
Well, put it this way. The movie opens with him selling a bag of weed to a uniformed police officer.
Oh, yeah. I saw that in the trailer where he doubts for a second, but then he sells it to him, and then he gets arrested immediately.
But that's the thing. He's not really an idiot. He's just such a sweet, kind-hearted person. And then he and I kind of become buddies, and I sort of talk to him about, you don't have to be so nice, and you should just, like, go and have sex with some girls. And, you know, I'm kind of like that buddy to him. It's a terrific performance from Paul. It's actually something we haven't really seen, and he's in every scene of the movie, and he's just hilarious, but also really, really sweet. It's a very kind, sweet movie, and super funny.
It's all about being naive, right? Like, he just doesn't understand people or life or whatever, and that makes him a happier person.
Yeah, he's a very happy person, but he's also, you know, in and out of jail and not really, doesn't have any money, you know, so he has to, like, couch surf his sister's houses, but he's also incredibly happy. So there's something to kind of learn from someone like that after you get through being annoyed with them.
And I love, this is the voice of actor Adam Scott on the phone here on the Kevin Bean Show, by the way. We're talking about Our Idiot Brother, which opens Friday. And we love Paul Rudd so much, as I know you do too, Adam. He's a guy like Will Ferrell, like Steve Carell, who is absolutely fearless when it comes to comedy. You just can't believe the stuff that the situations he puts himself in, and he just goes for it. That's what's awesome about his performances.
Yeah, that's very, very true. I think it's something that you know, we can all learn from those guys and their performances is, like, if it's going to get a laugh, their ass is coming out. Like, they don't care. It's absolutely whatever.
But let me just follow that up. His ass,
no boundaries on that, you know?
His ass doesn't come out, though. I mean, does his ass come out?
I don't think his ass comes
okay,
out
good.
In this movie. No.
I was hoping that was just an example. Good.
Just an expression, right?
Right.
All right, Kevin, what clip do you have from Our Idiot Brother opening everywhere Friday?
I won most cooperative inmate 4 months running.
Well, I got to get back to work on the tumyun.
What?
It's a cross-pollination between a tomato and onion. Think of the time it'll save when you're making spaghetti sauce.
What's wrong with my sister? She's pretty, but she's bossy.
Tell me exactly what he said.
He said that your personality gets in the way of your looks. Your very good looks.
Dude, do you have Tourette's?
Our idiot brother just ruined my freaking life.
Well, I could love something.
As much as Ned loves everything,
you wouldn't be such a bitch.
And you wouldn't be such a slut.
Do you have Tourette's?
Oh, nice.
Do you have Tourette's? I love Tourette's.
Hey, the word slut is in there, so go see this movie.
Our Idiot Brother is a completely Smurf-free movie, and you can see it opening everywhere on Friday. Adam, it's always great to have you on the show, and I know Parks and Recreation comes back on September the 22nd at 8:30. We're looking forward to that on NBC as well. Have a great one, my friend.
Thanks so much, you guys.
One hundred 6.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 23 minutes after 7 o'clock.
How much did you spill there, monkey?
Most of it. And we wonder why this equipment doesn't work.
Right. I looked in on the studio, and there's a geyser going off. Just
yeah.
Water everywhere.
And that's not code. It's not water. It's Diet Coke, and it's
That's even worse. That's good for equipment.
Yeah.
All right, welcome into the Kevin Bean Show. By the way, in about a half an hour or so, guess who joins us in studio? The president of the UFC, Dana White, will be here.
Yeah!
Something we did sign a new deal with Fox we want to talk about. It's fascinating.
And you need to figure out a way to go wherever Dana's going this week, by the way, as he heads to Brazil for the Anderson Silva UFC fight on Saturday night. Come on. Going with the president down to Rio de Janeiro? How's that for a weekend? Anyway, a lot of big news for UFC, and we'll talk to the president coming up here in a few minutes on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, I, as you know, had the belly button surgery last week, and it didn't seem like, I mean, I was a little bit nervous about it. And of course, the listeners did everything they could to whip me into a needless frenzy about all the things that can go wrong. We had people calling in with their surgical disasters.
That's what we do.
People who woke up in the middle of anesthesia or had body parts removed that they didn't go in for. So I was a little bit nervous about the surgery, but I also knew objectively that it wasn't a super serious surgery and that I was likely to come through it fine and recover easily. So I didn't feel the need to tell my dad. Now, he's not very pleased with that decision.
Do you?
And I guess there's a thing about...
How often do you talk to him?
Probably about once a month or so, I guess. I talk to the chief.
Seems like if you talk to him once a month, having any kind of surgery, I don't know, you might want to throw it out there.
Well, that's what he says. That's what he says. But I didn't think it was that big a deal, so I didn't tell him about it. And it didn't occur to me that he might find out about it some other way, but that's exactly what happened. Is my wife put it up on her Facebook page, and then my brother saw it on her Facebook page. I'm not on Facebook. And then my brother told my dad about it, so then my dad calls and goes, hey, how about giving the old man a heads up if you're going under the knife?
Is your brother always a snitch? Hey, Beans went under surgery and didn't tell you.
I don't know if it came down like that or not. But we kind of started getting into the discussion of your parents find out something that maybe they should have or would have rather heard from you. And we started getting some emails from people who apparently this is common because you don't like to, there's some things you just don't want to tell your folks.
Yeah, I guess.
And they
so.
Find out about
Or you just think it doesn't matter like you did. But
right,
then when
right.
they find out, then you go, well, yeah, I guess I should have maybe mentioned that.
I mean, if you're moving out of town or something and your parents find out about it from somebody else, that's the type of thing they might not be pleased with. If you've gotten married, maybe that's
oh,
the type
sure
of thing.
I'm sure that happens.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm sure that happens because, you know, people know that their parents may or may not like their other person or whatever, so they go ahead and get married and then... And then the parents find out from somebody else, and then you have to go, hey, about that marriage. Yeah, that did happen.
Now, I did elope, and I am the one who told my parents about it, but it was after it had already happened. But at least they heard it from me that I was already married, even though they didn't even know I had a girlfriend. So at least I did tell them.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even know I was dating anyone when I called to say we were married, but at least they heard it from me.
Why didn't the worst?
Yeah, why didn't you tell them that you were dating someone?
Because you don't
know
if
it's going to work out.
You don't know if it's going to work out or not. Seriously, do you call your parents every time you go out on a date with a different person?
Well, no, but how long had you been dating her?
5 months.
Okay.
That seems long enough.
That's long.
Maybe so.
If you go out on a date, you don't tell your parents. But if you're with someone for 3 months, maybe you just throw it out there. Just mention it. Hey, by the way, I'm dating a girl. She's nice.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't even have to say much.
Maybe I'm the weak link in this whole conversation. But we do want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for situations where your parents heard something from somebody else and they were ticked off at you because you should have told them. I had a friend once who dropped out of college, Kevin, and did not tell his parents. I think a year went by. He didn't tell his parents that he was no longer going to school.
No.
He was pretending he was going to school, and they did find out from a friend of his.
But wait, were they paying?
Like, yes, they were giving him money.
So they were giving him checks. Money. He was cashing
yes,
them.
That's right.
Oh,
and was not going
man.
To school.
No wonder he didn't tell them.
And then, like a year later, a friend of his let it slip to his parents. So what do you think about him not being in school anymore? It was one of those kind of deals.
Oh, way to go, friend!
Can you imagine what? So
this is why it's very important that you keep all of your friends away from your parents.
Yeah, that's true.
My rule.
Don't let them be friends
do
with
not
your parents.
Let your friends be friends with your parents.
Yeah.
Things can go wrong and they'll say stuff and then you don't want it said.
Let's talk to Travis to kind of get us started. I see the phones are blowing up, but we have room for your calls too at 1-800-520-1067. Your parents found out from somebody else they would have rather found out from you. Travis, what happened, dude?
Hey, yeah, so I got married in Bali. I eloped there with my wife. About 3 years ago.
Now, how long had you been with her?
I've been with her for about 6 months.
Okay, and did your parents know that you were with her for 6 months?
They did know. They knew I
okay.
was dating.
All right.
They knew I was in a relationship.
Okay.
And then the relationship progressed, and we decided to elope to Bali and have this amazing wedding down there. And
you didn't call them and say, you didn't call them because their feelings would get hurt because they're not invited.
I just didn't really want to tell them until I got back. I didn't really think about it, to be honest.
Why didn't you want to?
That's a really good question. I did.
Because you're a selfish prick?
Yeah, basically.
And by the way, I say that having done the exact same thing you did, although not nearly as glamorous a location as Bali. So did they at least hear it from you after you guys were married, or did they find out from somebody else?
My mother found out through me. I called her the day I did get married, and my father didn't find out until I got back, and I told my mother not to tell my father, until I got back, which she told him, of course.
And of course. And he told me not to tell you.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I can see how if you were a parent, you would be disappointed that you weren't able to be part of your kid's marriage, right? Your kid's wedding.
Well, yeah. It kind of made sense.
Are you backing up right now, Travis? Some kind of
yeah.
You are?
All right.
Okay.
We're going to let you get to that. Thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your parents found out from somebody else. They would have rather heard it from you. Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. All right. Before we go to your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Here's exactly what we're talking about from Kevin and Bean listener Will. I joined the Army without my parents knowing. The reason was if I told them, they would have disagreed with my decision and tried to pressure me not to join. Here's how they found out. My recruiter showed up to my house a few days before I shipped out to boot camp to drop off some paperwork. I wasn't home, so the recruiter had the honor of telling my parents that I had enlisted.
Oh my god.
The result, when I returned home, my parents were so ticked off they didn't talk to me until after I had completed boot camp and my job training. So for about 8 months they wouldn't speak to me. Now they're fine with me having enlisted, but they still hold a grudge that they found out from my recruiter and not from me.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know what, a lot of people say, yeah, it would have been better if you'd told us. I don't buy that. I think they would have been just as upset because they didn't want them to, you know.
Right.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, let's try Mike on line one to get us going here. 1-800-520-1067. Your parents found out from somebody else. Mike, what's your story? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Doug.
Hi.
I was about 16 years old. It was a Mother's Day. My mom's having a little party and all that. And I had one of my friends over who eventually ended up being my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
But she overheard me and my friend talking about my little weekend with my girlfriend and found out I lost my virginity on her Mother's Day party.
So you lost your virginity recently, and then it was a Mother's Day celebration, and she found out on Mother's Day that you lost your virginity?
Yeah, sweet. All of her friends, family, everyone was there and found out. My mom started crying. Everyone
sweet.
Started asking questions.
Excellent. Oh my God. Good. Mom crying on Mother's Day, that's always good.
That's what you look for. Hey, at least you were there. At least she didn't hear about it from somebody else and you weren't there. So in a way, it's a little better. But thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Heather, line three. This sounds confusing and complicated. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the show.
Hey. So when I was 15, my mom calls me. I was at my boyfriend's house and she's like, so do you have something to tell me? I'm like, no. And she's like, so I have to find out from your pediatrician that you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you come to me? I'm like, what do you mean I'm pregnant? She's like, yeah, stop playing stupid. So you blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Mom,
wait,
did you just say I'm pregnant? And she's like, yeah, and I had to find out from someone else. I'm like, Mom, did you just say I'm pregnant? So, and she's like, wait, are you telling me you didn't know?
That's sweet. Yeah. That's a twist.
Wow.
So your mom found out from somebody else something that you should have told her, but you didn't know.
I didn't know.
Wow.
That's crazy. Why did your pediatrician tell you?
Because I was 15. I don't know.
Oh, that could be it.
Yeah. Oh, maybe tell the parents.
I'll never
first.
Forget
wow.
his name, though. Dr. Novum.
Yeah.
Don't trust that man.
That's fantastic, Heather. Thank you very much for the call. Wow. All right, let's try Charles, line four. Hey, Charles, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hello, Charles. Charles, one more time.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Paola. Paola on line five. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your story?
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
The thing that I want to tell you is that I married my husband 11 days after I met him.
Sweet. Okay, and did your parents even know that you had met a guy?
They didn't even know. I wasn't dating anyone at the time. I was working off-site at for the company that I work for, and I met him there. My kids didn't even know I was dating him.
Sweet.
Okay. Good. How did your parents find out eventually?
Oh, my four-year-old told them the day after we were married. We actually
Four-year-old. You can't trust him with secrets. You know?
And the funny thing about it was that everybody was like, we didn't even know you were dating anyone. And I was like, I didn't even know I was dating him. It basically went from meeting him, going out with him a couple of times,
mm-hmm.
Him going like to an amusement park with us, and then us, him asking me on New Year's Day to get married. I said yes. We took off to Vegas with the kids. The kids were even surprised. I had to go to work the next morning, and then my four-year-old told my little brother, who then in turn told her not to tell my parents, and then she ended up telling my parents anyways.
Sure.
Oh, there you go. How long did that marriage last?
We're still married. It's going to be 4 years.
What?
That's shocking.
I would have guessed.
Is shocking.
I would have guessed a week or two.
I would have guessed you'd be broken up by Valentine's Day that year. Wow. Very impressive.
No. All right.
Thank you for the call. Let's do one more. This is going to be John. Somehow the Kevin and Bean Show factors into this problem with his parents. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys.
How do we figure into it?
Huh?
How do we figure into this story?
Basically, I went on your show to talk about BDSM, where I had actually done BDSM porn, mm-hmm. where I've actually been nominated for 2 AVNs that I had held out from my family.
Oh, so your parents didn't know you were doing porn?
Yeah, well, fetish porn, yeah.
Fetish porn, okay. Until you came on our show, and then you told everyone, but you didn't tell your parents.
They knew that I did it, like, privately, but they didn't know the porn aspect or anything, and they kind of decided to have a, like, hands-off approach. I think when your son graduates college, that's kind of not the way you're hoping they'll go.
Sure.
So,
how did they find out? They didn't see, your dad wasn't watching, was he?
No. My mom was the one who had the biggest problem. My dad was kind of like,
no, but how did they find out?
Cool.
How did they find out?
Basically, everybody we know listens to your show.
Oh.
So somebody told them, hey, I heard John on the radio.
Out of town, everybody was like, do you know what your son did?
Ew. Mm. Yeah, that's, yeah. Don't do that, people. Don't do
that. It happens all the time. We had somebody on the air a couple of days ago, remember, who was telling us something that her boyfriend or whatever had never, she'd never told him. And we were like, you know you're on the radio, right? But that's not how you want to find out. I'll tell you that. Your parents were not pleased with that news.
My dad was kind of whatever about it. I think he was a little more like, that's my boy type of thing.
Really? Your dad was like, yeah, go get him, son. Yeah. Go get him.
And my mom didn't talk to me for a couple of weeks, and it took my best friend just kind of being like, he's still the same guy. It's not any different. And then, I don't know. I was looking for work at the time. I was like, well, they're paying me. And she was like, oh, you got a point there.
There you go. That is bad surprise, though. I can see why a parent would not want to hear that secondhand.
Yeah. Well,
but I also can see how you wouldn't want to make that call. Hey, mom, dad, fetish porn. That's me.
Yeah. I would never make that call.
Right?
Never.
But you've got to know it's going to get out there. You're putting it out.
Maybe not.
Then you call our show and you say it on our show.
That was the fatal error.
Actually, you had me on as a guest.
Oh, we did? Oh, you came in?
Yeah, I was on with my mistress at the time.
Ah.
Oh, fantastic. All right, well, good to hear from you again, John. I hope this call doesn't screw up your life further, but thank you very much for listening.
Okay, loud.
Monarchy of Roses is the name of that one. Brand new music from Red Hot Chili Peppers. Keep listening for your chance to win your way into our Breakfast with the Chili Peppers, and the album comes out on Monday. Start streaming on their website at noon today. Dana White, coming up next after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, the president of UFC. Huge, monster entertainment deal. UFC coming to Fox Television. We'll talk about that and so much more. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
I just wanted to give people a heads up. Some people were writing in because I mentioned this morning the Red State movie. If you want to see Kevin Smith's movie Red State, it is playing for 1 week here in Los Angeles at the New Beverly Cinema, which is 7165 West Beverly Boulevard. Right at just west of La Brea on Beverly. And I'm going to be there tonight for the 6:30 showing. The 6:30 show, there's a Q&A afterwards with Kevin Smith, and I'm going to sit in and be his guest. And then there's another show later in the evening if you want to go. But if you want to get tickets...
How much later? If you're going to do a Q&A with Kevin Smith,
yeah, I think the second
show's
at 9 o'clock. So it really does limit how long he can talk, which is probably a good thing.
All right.
If you want to get tickets, you can go to coopersdell.com. Or, since they gave me a guest list, I thought I'd put a pair of K-Rock listeners on my guest list tonight. If you want to come, call now 1-800-520-1067. Free tickets to see the movie and the Q&A with me and Kevin Smith at 6:30 tonight. If you can't make it, don't call in. But if you can be on Beverly Boulevard at 6:30 tonight, call now. Let's take caller number 5 at 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 5. We'll win a pair of passes to come see Red State and see me be scary and then hear me talk afterwards, which some people would say is even scarier. So we'll have to wait and see. While we're talking about movies, top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, The Help was number 1. $20.5 million. That is a lot of vaginas. That's all I'm saying. A lot of women went to see this weekend. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, $16.3 million, made it number 2. Then the kids went to the movies and brought their parents along. Spy Kids 4D in its debut made $12 million, made it number 3. Conan the Barbarian in its debut made $10.5 million.
Can I butt in, Ralph?
Yes.
We had Rachel Nichols on last week.
Yes, you did.
And Bean said,
it looks freaking awesome. I mean, I really can't wait to see this movie on Friday, and you should too. Conan the Barbarian. How was it, Bean?
He couldn't wait. I'm glad to hear it. How was it, Bean?
I didn't get to the movie per se.
You just said you couldn't wait to go on Friday. Friday, right. The opening day, you could not wait to go then.
I didn't make it that day.
Saturday.
Well, no, Saturday kind of came and
went.
Well,
that makes sense. Sunday's easier. Sometimes you catch a matinee on Sunday. You can
I haven't quite seen it yet, but I am still looking forward to it. Yeah. I am still very excited because I love
Julie Busy.
I love Rachel, as you know, and I hear the movie is very good.
I can tell you love her so much. That you stayed away in droves from her movie this weekend.
I'm going to go see it. I am totally going to go see it. Dave says she or a body double playing Rachel Nichols is topless in the movie.
Not
really busy.
Not enough to get Bean there. Not to get Bean in the theater.
I'm going. Believe
Stop
you me.
Wasting our time.
Perhaps it would have done better than fourth in the list if Bean had showed up. I'm just
that saying. Extra $6 would have put it over the top.
It might have. Where are you going to see a movie for $6? By the way,
I'm kidding.
Is there
Washington
a drive-in?
State?
Is there a drive-in on the island?
Things are cheaper here.
Wow. It's Friday night. Not Friday night. Fright Night. That'd be a very different movie. Fright Night was fifth at the box office with $8.3 million. Then The Smurfs, Final Destination 5, 30 Minutes or Less, One Day, and Crazy Stupid Love was number 10 on the list. Ashton Kutcher is going out of his way to impress his co-workers over there at 2.5 Men. In Touch Weekly Magazine's got a story about the fact that he treated the cast and crew to a sushi buffet during rehearsals.
Is that code?
His first week? No.
Oh.
It was an actual buffet of sushi. Cost him $12,000.
Wow.
He is desperate to impress. But, you know, he's making $700K per episode, so I guess he can afford a little sushi for the cast and crew. Everyone apparently thinks he's a genuinely nice guy, and he's getting to know everyone who works there from the cast and crew all the way down to the janitors, and everyone's very impressed and very happy he's on board. So
no one misses Charlie Sheen, I'll tell you that.
They have not mentioned that so much.
Yeah.
Rose McGowan, we were just talking about the Conan the movie. She's in that.
She is.
She is heading to the Middle East for a visit with the troops.
All right.
She's already been. She went once to Afghanistan. She said it was the best trip she'd ever experienced. She thinks military personnel think the folks here at home have forgotten them, and she's happy to show them Americans are thinking about them. I bet she is. Yeah, I bet she's happy to show them. You know what I'm saying? I'm Buzz. I bet she really entertains the troops, if you know what I'm saying. These are air quotes I'm putting up here with my fingers.
Can't see that.
I understand that, but you can. And while we're talking about naked people, you know, in Times Square, there's the naked cowboy, the guy who rolls around with his guitar and sings songs for you.
Yeah, wearing just his underwear, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
But it looks like he's naked because he's got his guitar slung low in front of his joint there, and so it looks like he's a naked cowboy.
Right.
Were you familiar with the naked cowgirl?
No.
Naked cowgirl?
No.
In Times Square now. There's a naked cowgirl.
Because the guitar cannot cover both
areas.
She's
got some pasties on. Oh. So she's technically not naked either. All these naked performers, by the way, none of them are actually naked.
Yeah, what's up with that?
She was hauled in by NYPD last Thursday.
Why?
Well, people think it's because she's too titillating for the squeaky clean Times Square area these days there in New York City. However, what they charged her with was posing for pictures and charging tourists without a valid license.
Ah.
Yeah.
We had on the representative from GoTopless.org last week who named New York as one of the states where it is legal for a woman to be topless.
Maybe,
remember?
Maybe in a beach area or something.
Oh.
That's not her, is it?
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Do we not want to see that?
No, we do not.
Oh. That she should have gotten a ticket for ugly.
She ugly. She ugly. You.
I thought that was her.
She ain't got no alibi. She ugly.
Yeah, I think that's her. That's her. That wasn't the other one you were showing.
All right, I take back that she's ugly.
I've seen her. Yeah, she's cute. And she's young and hot.
All right.
Well, I don't know what beer mug was pulling up there, ruining everyone's breakfast.
She wasn't doing what beer mug was pulling on.
This one's not.
Yeah. Anyway, she was arrested, jailed, and released later that day. Her Facebook claims she is still ready to go and out there and pose for everybody in Times Square. So if you're looking for her, she'll still be there.
I like you so much better when you're naked.
Yeah, don't we all, naked cowgirl? Today's celebrity birthday is Bill Parcells, football coach extraordinaire, 70 years old today. Tori Amos, 48 years old. Ty Burrell from Modern Family, so funny as the dad on that show. He is 44 years old. Howie Duro from Backstreet Boys. Duro or Duro?
Just
Howie D. That's how I know him. Howie
That's
D.
Right. Yeah.
You know. He is 38 years old today. Backstreet Boys, 38. He can't call himself anymore. And Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live, from Bridesmaids. Many of you might have seen her in that. But most famously, of course, for the Joe Schmo Show. That's where she gets all her claim to fame, of course.
Of course.
She's 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm Dana White, the president of the UFC.
Dana White.
Nobody gives a Boxing is trying to sell you the fight that nobody cares about.
He is the president of Ultimate Fighting Championship. He is profane.
I want to kick them in their balls.
He is crude. He is completely authentic.
I love boxing. I watch boxing all the time. My big thing is I tell it like it is, and these guys just don't fight, man. We're the biggest fight promoters. I don't believe in bullshit. They're the best conditioned athletes in the world. They have to be well-versed in boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu. And that's no plug. That's no bullshit. That's the truth.
I think in the next 10 years, we're going to be the biggest sport in the world.
The man who has revolutionized the sport of mixed martial arts and has turned it into a global phenomenon. He's the UFC president, Mr. Dana White.
UFC Rio happens Saturday night in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Dana, please, what can we do? We'll carry your shoes. Tell us what we can do to come with you this weekend, dude.
No, I'm excited. You know, it's been a big month for us. We're taking this thing to you know, all these new places, and obviously you guys know the big Fox.
You're going to Brazil. Where, besides England, where else have you done it outside of the United States? Where else have you had
Germany,
your seat?
Australia, all over the UK and Ireland. We've done the Middle East. We did a fight down in Abu Dhabi. We've been just about everywhere. This year we're going to Rio. This Saturday our fight's in Rio. Then we're going to Korea. We're going to China. We're going to India. And we're doing Japan this year, too.
Is it difficult to work the Chinese deal because of the government issues and stuff?
Yeah.
Is that more difficult than most?
Yeah. I mean, you face lots of different things when you go into different countries to do business. Mm-hmm. But we actually have an office set up in Beijing, China.
Oh,
we have an office there. Yeah. We have an office there with like 5 employees.
No amazing. Kidding. So the UFC is worldwide popular, and starting this fall, you're about to be introduced to millions of people who have never seen your sport before, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, going into this Fox deal, I don't know if you guys have been watching any of the NFL, but they've already started to integrate us into the NFL and basically letting everybody know that the UFC is coming to Fox, and the answer is yes. I think we'll reach millions of people who have never even seen the UFC.
Tell us how this came about.
Well, it started 10 years ago when we bought this company and started to put on these fights. We believed that this thing would be the biggest sport in the world. You guys have been hearing me yap about this for a long time now. And
it's actually happening, though. A lot of people say stuff like that, right? But this is actually happening.
Yeah, it's starting to happen now. You know, this Fox deal, we did some pretty big things on a small cable network called Spike. And as this thing continued to grow, you know, the big play, David Hill, the guy who runs Fox, this guy's, you know, the things that he's done in sports, the guy's a genius when it comes to sports and television, and he gets it. And the other thing, too, to go over to FX with the guy who runs that, John Landgraf, has a lot of great ideas for the Ultimate Fighter.
So the Ultimate Fighter's going to move to FX.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we're pretty excited.
Now, what is going to be on Fox, the network?
I'll break down the deal for you. We're going to do 4 big fights a year on Big Fox, the network.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do 6 fights on FX.
Little Fox.
Yep. And the Ultimate Fighter will move. We'll do 2 seasons a year, just like we did over on FX. And then all of the rest of our programming, from Unleashed to all the other stuff that we do, will be spread out throughout the Fox networks.
This job is too big for one man. I hope you have an awful lot of help, Dana.
Well, for as much as we do, we got a pretty small staff. Total employees. We have offices in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Toronto, London, and Beijing, China. And total, we have 250 employees total.
That's it?
That's shocking. That's unbelievable.
You get a few more. People out there need jobs. Come on, man.
But you know what? We literally hire, you know, 2 to 3 people a week, you know. So that is pretty fast growth.
Is this Fox deal going to change the amount of employees that you have to have? Or no, it's pretty much the same.
You know, it's pretty much the same thing we've been doing. Same amount of fights, but who knows? I don't know. You can't foresee those kind of things in the future. But we had a big, you know, there's a lot of people that have been with me since day one. Mm-hmm. You know, I probably still have... Day one, we had, you know, probably five employees. I probably still have three from those days.
Is that right?
Yeah. So we had a big meeting after we announced the Fox deal with our, you know, 200 employees that are just in Las Vegas. And everybody was pretty pumped up about
this.
Yeah.
Is UFC a publicly traded company, Dana?
It's not. We're a private company.
Wow.
People ask me that all the time. When are you going public? When are you going public? And my answer is always never. Why would I let these guys who never believed in us tell us how to run the company now?
Because we bandwagon fans want an opportunity to make money off your hard work. That's
that
why.
I understand. No, that I understand. All the people who want to own a piece of the UFC, I get it. But I'm not going to have these goofballs out in Wall Street telling me how to run this thing when nobody ever believed it in it when we started it.
When you started it, did you try to get people to invest and everyone said no? Is that one of those deals?
Yeah. You know, we have a completely different model than boxing does because nobody believed in this thing in the beginning. So it sucked in the beginning, but now that everything's worked out, it's great because we own 100% of everything.
Wow.
We own all the rights to everything. We own all our digital rights. The problem with boxing is none of these guys ever take a risk. HBO will do the pay-per-view. They'll do a site fee with the arena. Arena will sell tickets. You know, so many different people are involved. If you tried to go out and get some footage of a boxing match, three or four different people on the rights, you have to jump through all these hoops to try to even get it.
Oh, I see.
We own 100% of everything, all of our rights and you name it.
And you don't have Don King involved, so.
the first live UFC event on Fox is going to be on Saturday, primetime, November the 12th. That is the 18th anniversary of what, Dana?
18th anniversary, November 12th? I don't know. You got me on that one.
Well, according to some of the press materials that are coming out, it's the 18th anniversary of the UFC.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even know that.
I mean, how interesting is that? That it falls on the same date as when the UFC got started, and here you are making your national, you know, network debut on one of the big four. So that's pretty great. And Fox was your first choice. That's who you've been wanting for a long time.
No
right?
doubt about it. Yeah, Fox. I mean, this is literally my dream deal. If I could have dreamt the deal that we would get, you know, 10 years later, it would have been this deal that we have now.
Did anyone at Fox sit down and go, okay, listen, you're a little brash at times. Watch this. Don't do that. Are they doing any of that stuff? Or are they just saying,
not
come
one
on
bit.
In?
Not
a
one
bit.
Bit.
Fantastic.
Let me tell you the coolest thing about the deal with Fox. We're going to be in business with these guys for 7 years.
Right.
And the relationship is just as important as everything else. The guys that run Fox are the coolest guys in television. These are guys that you actually want to hang out with. They're guys. You know, believe me, you meet with some of these TV executives and you're like, oh, God, we got to go to dinner with these guys tonight?
Right.
I got to sit at a table for 2 hours and eat with these guys? The Fox guys are guys that are guys. You actually want to hang out with them. So
Did you get the feeling that they like the sport and watch the sport, follow the sport?
Absolutely. Yeah. The feeling we got through the whole building was that everybody was just as excited about this deal as we were. You know, and you're talking about the number one network in the country. Number one. These guys have the NFL. They got Major League Baseball, NASCAR, you know, from Family Guy to American Idol.
Yeah.
You know, usually when you're the number one this, that, you get these arrogant, pompous. These guys are the furthest thing from it. They're real guys. They're good guys. And they're fun guys to hang out with. So I'm telling you, in every way, shape, and form, I couldn't be happier about this deal.
You seem like ecstatic.
All right, we got to take a break. The president is here, Mr. Dana White from the UFC. We've got more to talk about, including we'll talk about the card for this weekend in Rio de Janeiro. We got a lot of people who are emailing who want to hear your version of how the mosh pit went at LA Rising, Dana. We want to talk about that. And more with our guest, Dana White, right after this on the Kevin.
And we all know how that goes. Okay, it's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 27 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The president of the UFC, Mr. Dana White, in studio with us. If you're just joining us, you missed the major announcement, but you can find it anywhere about the new UFC Fox deal. That's pretty big time, Dana, but we got a bunch of questions about other topics since you're here, if you don't mind me running a couple by you.
No, cool.
All right, here's Juan, Kevin being Facebook page. Given your history of giving second chances, Dana, is there a possibility of you lifting the ban on Nate Marquette in the not-too-distant future?
I told Nate that time heals all wounds. We'll see what happens. You know, this is This one's a touchy subject. I consider it his third offense. So three strikes and you're out. We'll see what happens. He's a good guy. I like him and I respect him, but tough one.
Yeah. Scott says also from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, what are the major problems that are preventing an Anderson Silva versus GSP middleweight fight?
There's no major problems. You know, there's still some interesting fights. Anderson Silva has to beat Yushin Okami this Saturday in Rio. Then George St. Pierre is fighting Nick Diaz in Las Vegas. These two win. We'll see. You know, I know it's a fight that everybody wants to see. I wouldn't mind seeing that fight either. We'll see what happens.
All right. And finally, this is from the Kevin Bean Twitter page. Dana, when are you running for president of the United States? All issues in Congress can be taken care of in the cage by submission. No, that really would. That would get this whole budget thing off the floor, right?
Yeah, I guess. Believe me, you don't want me to be the president of the United States.
I think you're used to being the emperor. You don't want to be a president where you give up a lot of power.
Let's talk about this weekend. You mentioned Anderson Silva. This is that's a phenomenal fight for him, right?
Yep.
Going up against Yushin.
Yeah, this is actually a rematch. Understand this. Anderson Silva is not only the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. This guy's the best mixed martial artist of all time. He's broken every record in UFC history. He has not been beat since 2005, and the guy that beat him in 2005 was Yushin Okami. And it was actually a disqualification.
Oh.
Anderson Silva hit him with an illegal kick and was disqualified from the fight.
So he didn't really beat him as much as Anderson Silva disqualified himself.
Exactly.
Wow.
But
right.
Yushin Okami is a big, strong, 185-pounder who's been training with Chael Sonnen, who has done nothing but talk smack. This guy, you know, you guys know, you know who Chael Sonnen is, uh-huh. right? He's one of our fighters.
Yep.
This guy's nuts. He's down there in Rio training Yushin Okami for this fight because he's the guy who's come the closest to beating Anderson Silva. All this guy does is sit on Twitter all day and smash Brazil and Brazilians and talk bad about them while he's in Brazil.
Great. Yeah. What a smart guy.
Yeah, he's a genius.
I would think the hardest thing about preparing for a fight like this, by the way, is that you're in freaking Rio.
Yeah.
You know that you'd rather be at the beach than working out.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, what about Rua versus Griffin?
That's a great fight. That's a rematch. Forrest Griffin going into the first fight with Shogun. Everybody thought that Forrest was going to get killed. Forrest ends up pulling off the upset and winning, and now this is the rematch down in Brazil.
I love the fact that when he loses, he runs.
Yeah, he goes crazy.
I really do. He literally runs from the building.
He goes crazy when he wins. He goes crazy loses.
Yeah, he's a great guy. We've had him in a couple times.
He is a great guy.
He's a character. He's really a lot of fun.
When you go into a country for the first time like you are this weekend in Brazil, I mean, it becomes a sensation and people want to see it. They want to be there to see it in person. I mean, you're making fans for life down there with these people, these tens of thousands of people, however many. I mean, they're going to want you to come back all the time, right?
Yeah, well, what's crazy is they're definitely going to want us to come back to this one. We kind of blew this one. We went down to this market and we kind of underestimated how big this thing was going to be. We got a 14,000-seat arena. And when tickets went on sale, 350,000 people were looking for tickets to this fight.
Wow!
Come on.
Yeah, we sold 14,000.
Wow!
So
you're leaving a lot of money on the table there, Dana.
Yeah, we kind of blew this one. We're a little bummed out about this fight. But, you know, the thing is, too, is that it's going to be on free TV down in Brazil. 40 million people will watch this fight this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And by the way, there's no place that holds 350,000, is there?
No.
I mean, you could have gone up, but
yeah, we could have done a soccer stadium.
Yeah.
And we still would have had people looking for tickets.
Yeah.
And of course, it's going to be live on pay-per-view in this country starting at 6 o'clock on Saturday. All right. A lot of listeners have tipped us off. After the LA Rising, we got links to YouTube videos of you in the mosh pit. Now, you just told us during the song there that was your birthday that night. You were celebrating with Rage Against the Machine and Muse. At 42 years old, do you really want to be, and kids at home, do you really want to be in the mosh pit just, breaking people's faces?
Well, let me
explain
what happened.
If you're Dana White, yes.
I bought some tickets online, and, you know, I was so pumped. I'm like, are you kidding me? Rage Against the Machine is getting back together and playing during my birthday. So I get these tickets, and we show up. It's front row, on the side of the stage.
Right.
And they've got them blocked off with tarp. So, like, these tickets,
So you can't, can't sit in them.
They said, these tickets have been reassigned.
Ah.
What the hell does that mean? I paid for these tickets. This is where I want to sit. And the thing was just about to start. Rage was just about to go on. So they sent us to some other booth. You got to go over here. After about three different places, I said, forget it. We're going back. And we're sitting in the one of two things are going to happen tonight. We're either seeing Rage Against the Machine or we're getting arrested tonight. I don't care which one it is. One of them is going to happen right now. So we go back down to go sit in my seats. And the only reason, what's crazy, is they knew who I was.
Right.
So they didn't kick me out. That's right, the sure. only reason. So I said, this is all we can do. You want to go downstairs on the floor in the general admission? And I said, yes. I want to see this concert.
Right. You just want to see the show.
So once you get down there on the floor, mm-hmm. how do you not get into the pit? I'm telling you, if you guys get down there, not only was it the energy, the show was incredible, but everybody down on the floor was cool. I'm so glad that my tickets got screwed up. Yeah. I ended up having the best time ever.
I'll tell you, it's funny because they split up the floor into like nine sections, and there was a mosh pit in each one.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, gosh. I think they didn't want it to get out of control.
It was crazy down there. They probably sectioned it off so they have enough people to control each section.
Yeah. And you're in there bouncing around, kicking people's asses.
It was awesome.
It was a great show, right?
It was incredible.
Yeah, I would imagine you get recognized quite a bit, and even in a scenario like that, nobody's really going to come at you. I think they're
coming after me, man.
Really?
When we were going around in the pit, guys would see me and go, "No way!" Some guys came in and took shots at me. Some guys were cool, but the most impressive, the guy who does my video blogs over here, Elliot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw him with the camera. He was getting smashed. He was going around inside there with the camera trying to film.
He's got another thing to concentrate on.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Liquid alcohol do a lot for a person. So they see you and they go, "I'm going to take a run at him."
Yeah.
Dana White.
Well,
this is great.
We love it when you have time to squeeze us in, Dana. You've always been very generous with your time. Don't miss live on pay-per-view this Saturday night from the HSBC Arena in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. It's UFC Rio. And then keep your ears peeled, your eyes peeled for the brand new deal starting in Fox in November. Awesome to have you back, man.
Don't forget the greatest K-Rock sticker of all time. Pick it up at any Del Taco, and you could win a trip to see Coldplay in Rio and a gift card worth $1,000 to iTunes from the world-famous K-Rock.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Monday means we talk to our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Harvey, I'm going to lose all respect for you if you were not actually a guest at the Kim Kardashian wedding over the weekend.
Was not.
Why? You're Harvey Levin.
I went jet skiing.
But their publicity roars, though.
I would rather go jet skiing than go to Kim's wedding. I'm sorry.
Do you go jet skiing every weekend?
Yep.
Yep, he says. Were you invited, Harvey?
No.
Okay. That may have more to do with it.
Somebody in my staff was.
Uh-huh. And did they go?
No, because he had a baby.
What is the...
It's like a giant event.
Barbary went and she took secret pictures.
You guys don't care much, do you?
Yeah, break this down for me, Harvey, because look, I, like many people, I'm way over the Kardashians. Whatever interest I had evaporated as soon as I watched the first 3 minutes of the sex tape. Then I was done with everything I needed Kim for. But having said that, it's turned into an industry. And we keep hearing all these stories about how many millions of dollars this wedding cost. What was the story? Why did it cost so much?
Well, I mean, because it was a TV production. It wasn't just a wedding. I mean, this was a whole TV production. Now, I think the figures are all grossly inflated. What I do believe is, from what we hear, People Magazine is paying her $1.5 million for the wedding photos. So that's actually about right for what they'll probably get out of it.
Okay.
E is doing two specials. Now, there's this crazy report out that she's going to get $17 million for the E specials. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy, right?
It's just not true.
Okay.
But, look, I mean, she's probably ultimately going to make money off of this wedding, even though it costs a lot. I mean, these are the kinds of things where you can sell pretty much everything. Remember Star Jones got fired for that when she got married. But, you know, I'm sure that Chris Humphreys got money to wear the tux that he wore. And, you know, it's like product integration. I mean, they sell everything. And
yeah.
It's the way of the world now.
Yeah. I guess it is. But then the other thing is, we saw that story, maybe it was on TMZ.com last week, about how they kind of overbooked the reception hall.
Right, they had to cancel people, right.
Right, they had to cancel people, some of whom it sounded like were actually in the Jenner family, yet they still have room for, you know, Avril Lavigne, Demi Lovato, Justin Bieber. I mean, do they even know the Kardashians, or do they just invite them because it makes a better TV show if you have lots of celebrities watching?
At this point, is it really shocking you that they would invite people based on their celebrity value?
I guess not. But seriously, what kind of a person are you if you go, hey, let's invite Lindsay Lohan to the wedding because that will make it more interesting for people when we sell the photos?
Well, but they're,
that's what they do.
Their lives have merged between television and reality. And, you know, that's kind of what happens here. I mean, the reality show is as much a part of the wedding as the bride and the groom. I mean, it's just simply true. Now, did you hear about the noise complaints, right?
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, this is so great because, you know, they got married in the hoitiest of toitiest neighborhoods, Montecito, and there are huge estates there. So at about 11:30 at night, the neighbors started complaining, and they called the sheriff's department, and they said, we can't stand this. And the sheriff's department came, and they told them to turn the music down. And apparently they did something to turn the volume down in the speakers, and the neighbors wouldn't file a complaint. But it's kind of dumb. I mean, it seems to me what you always do is you invite the neighbors to the wedding. I mean, how much is the food going to cost? That's the first thing you do.
Right.
And even if they say no, they're not going to call the police.
That's party 101 right there.
Exactly.
Now, is this true that they had, like, Earth, Wind, and Fire performing live at the reception? Not playing records by the band, but actually hiring the band to come and perform.
Earth, Wind, and Fire came. They played. Alan Thicke played. guys, you know what this is. Come on. You know what this is. And probably Earth, Wind, and Fire would have done it for almost nothing because they get a lot of play out of this thing, right?
Of course, yeah. Of course. All right, let's change gears for just a second, Harvey. I don't think we talked to you last week, or maybe the news had not broken yet about this Real Housewives of Beverly Hills suicide. One of the guys who's married to it.
I think we hung up on you guys and broke it like 10 minutes later.
Yeah. Thanks for the heads up.
A lot of people have been saying that these reality shows are potentially dangerous for the people that are involved, that there are a lot of unforeseen consequences, and at some point America needs to look in the mirror and be ashamed of itself for the trash that we watch on TV, specifically for reasons like this. Is it going to make any difference on this show? What are they going to do? How are they going to proceed forward on this program now?
Well, it could, because, look, everybody knew she was beaten. She was beaten so badly in June that she went off the radar for 3 weeks, and she was afraid she was going to get fired. So she met with two of the cast members, Camille Grammer and Kyle Richards, and said, "What am I going to do?" And they said, "You got to tell Bravo." And then Russell Armstrong found out, and he started sending threatening emails to Camille. So the show eventually found out about this. They all knew, but they kept filming it. So, you know, they're lucky that something really bad didn't happen to Taylor, because if something really bad happened to Taylor and then everybody just kept it hush-hush so that it would make a better reality show, it would have been like O.J. Simpson and Nicole Brown Simpson. But that didn't happen. So I think the real issue here is how far are these shows going to go when they know there's a danger and they just keep doing it. And, you know, ultimately there's a conflict because the show wants it to be a great storyline. They were going to make Taylor the star of season two, but at the same time, there was this clear danger, to the point where the doctor who performed surgery on her didn't report it to the police, even though there's a legal duty to, there's a mandatory reporting requirement that it should have been reported.
That's what's crazy to me. And, you know, my wife and I run the charity for abused women and children, and
that's right.
And they are, you know, he has to report that.
It's mandatory by state law, and we've talked to multiple people. She was never interviewed by police. It was not reported. So on so many levels, you know, this thing, there's something wrong about this. And the question is it going to have any impact on reality shows? I mean, as long as they sell, it's going to be really hard to have that kind of self-policing.
Yeah.
And he didn't kill her. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Had he done that, everything would have changed. He killed himself, and because of that, there probably isn't going to be a huge change.
Gotcha. All right, we're out of time. Go to TMZ.com or check your local listings for TMZ television for these stories and more, including Charlie Sheen and Brooke Mueller photographed together, but not in a romantic way, I understand. Right, Harvey?
Well, they went to Mexico together. They went together to Mexico to celebrate her birthday.
What's happening?
Yeah, what's happening? What's happening in the world?
I don't know about this one.
No kidding.
Harvey, have a great week, man. Thanks for coming
on. You too, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:56.
Got another brand new song from the Red Hot Chili Peppers to play for you coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. Plus the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices right after the top of the hour. Ralph, that's your favorite. You're going to be very excited to hear that. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
There's a miniature deer in the other room.
Kind of like a little fawn, right?
Someone had left a cage there, and I looked in, and there was a miniature deer in there. I'd never seen such a thing.
It's kind of an ugly deer, too.
It's like something from Santa's Village, where they raise the magical reindeer. You just see them as tiny little deer.
Isn't that Boner? Isn't that Lisa May's dog that she brought in?
A dog. Yeah. I know dogs, okay? The one thing that animal is not is a dog.
Is a dog.
It's a miniature deer.
They're not allowed here, so she wouldn't bring it.
No.
It'd be ridiculous.
Miniature deer are allowed.
Because they're magical,
right? I have seen hot dogs at a baseball game bigger than whatever that thing is in the crate.
Yeah. I saw something this morning. I did this morning. It was bigger than was in that crate, by the way. I'm not saying what it was.
So you guys are saying it's a small boner.
This is not a big dog, is what we're saying. Hey, you know me. I'm a giver. By nature. I just give.
That's what we know about you.
And now I've got more to give. I have
never
a pair of tickets to Call of Duty XP. And for those of you who don't know what it is, then you're no Call of Duty fan. Because if you are a fan of Call of Duty, you know that Call of Duty XP, which happens September the 2nd and 3rd at Playa Vista, is the first ever Call of Duty fan experience event. This is just for the hardcore Call of Duty fans, and it's going to be an amazing event. If you are there, you will see the first public reveal ever of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, which doesn't hit the shelves until November, but right. You'll be able to play it right there at the event if you're there. Also, all attendees will get a copy of Call of Duty MW3 when it's released, so you get your copy the minute it hits stores.
Sweet.
Wow.
Also, there is a $1 million Call of Duty tournament going on at the event. So if you think you have game, go prove it. Win, nothing, just $1 million, that's all.
Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be an amazing, amazing experience. So if you'd like to go, you can get more info at callofduty.com/XP, or you can be caller number 5 right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 5 will win a pair of passes to Call of Duty XP, the first ever Call of Duty fan experience event held in Playa Vista, and it's going to be quite the event. So I'm happy to bring that to y'all.
Sounds cool.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the big movies at the box office. Speaking of Mondays, I don't know if you guys are watching this or not, but it's slowly becoming one of my favorite TV shows ever. This Alphas on Sci-Fi. You watching Alphas?
No, I'm not.
I'm not.
Man, it is great. It's like everything we hoped heroes would be. That never turned out to be. It's like X-Files meets Heroes, but it's really interesting because there's no real black and white. There's no real heroes and villains. It's very gray. And David Strathairn is the lead in it, who's a brilliant, brilliant actor. The whole cast is really good. Bean would like the one autistic member of the team.
Right.
Who's a high-functioning autism. Much like Bean.
Asperger's.
He's got the Asperger's.
Mm-hmm. How dare you.
But because of the way his brain works, see, all the Alphas, all these like superpowered people on this government team, it's all legitimate powers in the sense that they are in some way what we would think of as handicapped. But in reality, their disabilities allow them to be exceptional in another way. So Autism Boy is able to see the entire spectrum of radio waves through the air. So he's constantly just doing this in the air, just like going through screens and stuff. But he is looking at cell phone calls, transmissions of the internet and stuff. He sees them as colors in front of his eyes, and he's able to read them. It's a fascinating show, and it's really well done. So I just want to give you a shout-out. It's Monday nights on Sci-Fi. You can check it out.
I'd like you to watch Torchwood, Miracle Day.
Torchwood is also great.
That is an unbelievable show.
It has been so good so far. I'm surprised, Kevin, that you like Torchwood.
That's on the Starz Network. Why?
Given the fact that Captain Jack
is way gay.
Is very gay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has a lot of gay sex on that show.
They do show a lot of that.
He has a lot of gay sex on Torchwood.
It's, but it's so unbelievably well done.
No, I'm impressed that you're able to put aside your aversion usually to two guys going at it and enjoy the show nonetheless.
I'm not into that so much.
I understand
maybe
that.
Maybe he is now just a
little. Maybe he is. Maybe I am. I see. Maybe he's being swayed.
Is meat on the menu this week?
And while we're talking about television, did you see Curb last night? Curb
no, I didn't.
That was a show I had pretty much written off. I thought last season and a half, were really sort of weak compared to what it was. Boy, is it back in a big way this year. I was just so impressed so far, and last night's episode may be the best one yet.
Wow.
So funny. You'll enjoy that. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Help, $20.5 million, made it number one. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, $16.3 million, was number two.
Spy Kids 4D, in its debut, only made $12 million, but it was good enough to make it number three. Then another movie in its debut, Conan the Barbarian, $10.5 million.
It looks freaking awesome. I mean, I really can't wait to see this movie on Friday, and you should too. Conan the Barbarian.
Right. How was that, Beef?
I haven't made it as such yet, but, however, I do still plan to attend.
But you love Rachel Nichols, and you said
I sure do.
You said how much you were looking forward to seeing it. And
I still am looking. I may be looking forward to it more now than I was when I made that statement last week.
I see.
Bean says that stuff all the time.
He does.
Goes.
No,
never
I'm going to go. Oh,
never
goes. Oh, this person's playing here. I might check that out, which means,
sounds interesting to him, but he goes to nothing.
No.
So
I do leave my house occasionally.
It.
Listen, for him to go someplace, he has to take his brain out of that jar that it's in, where it's plugged in with all those wires. He's got to put it back into a human body.
Yeah.
Whichever one's available.
Whatever, just any donor. It's just a lot of work. I see why he doesn't go.
It's a big hassle hooking it back up to the spinal fluid.
I'm sure. I'm sure. The Smurfs 6th, Final Destination 5 was number 7, 30 minutes or less, one day in its debut, and Crazy Stupid Love rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Celebrity birthdays, Kristen Wiig from Saturday Night Live and Bridesmaid. She's 38 years old today. Ty Burrell of Modern Family turns 44. Tori Amos is 48 years old. And Bill Parcells, football coach, legendary, 70 years old today. Also having a birthday today is the guy from Lost who carried the big stick. What was his name?
Mr. Echo?
Mr. Echo.
Yeah.
Mr. Echo's birthday today.
What's
but
his name?
I haven't even tried
say
to take a
name.
Stab at his
Try.
Name.
Say his name. It's his birthday. You should
big
say his
star
name.
Of Oz, of course, and of Lost.
You should say his name. It's his birthday.
Adewale Akinoye Agbaje.
That's right. That's what
wow.
I said. He is 44 years old. I said like a native, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Ralph has one more look at the showbiz beat coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Kevin, do I understand correctly that you're at some sort of a moral crossroads here?
Did Kevin do the right thing?
It's not really moral. It's just I feel weird about it, and I just like to get the feel of the room.
Okay.
If you
would have
done
all
the same thing I did.
Okay. Nope.
There's
your answer. What's next?
Ordered Chinese food.
No.
I would do that. Is that your question?
Nope.
Yes, I would do that.
Great,
Kevin did the right thing.
Great restaurant in the area, but Chinese food tends to smell. So after we eat, I throw it out, but I throw it out in the outside trash can.
That's very considerate of you, so you don't stink up the house.
Exactly.
Right.
About 15 minutes later, I start thinking, I'm still a little hungry.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty hungry right now.
Well, Chinese food doesn't stuff you for the whole evening.
Right.
That's it's an old joke, but it's true. Yeah, you really do. You burn through it, and then you're hungry again. Sure.
Right. So then I think, I threw it out in the outside trash. And there's a lot of the trash in there. But,
yes, filthy, disgusting, rotting garbage in there.
But what if the box is still closed? So I went out and checked.
Oh, jeez.
And I dug through the trash. Now, just remember, Ralph, it sounds really great to you. You're really hungry for more.
Yeah, and knowing you, as poverty-stricken as you are, there's no other food in the entire house that you could possibly eat.
Did Kevin do the right thing?
But you're hungry for more of the Chinese food. So I dug through the outside trash.
Ugh,
and it's
like a raccoon.
Like a hobo.
And one of the containers was still closed. And the other one was slightly ajar.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, I'll pick them up and I'll take them into the light where I can see and I'll check them for bugs.
Jesus,
or
what a procedure it is
else.
For you to have a snack.
So I opened the
one. I can't believe as lazy as you are, you went through all this work.
Because it really was
surprised
good.
You just didn't reorder Chinese food at the restaurant and get a brand new order.
You got another half hour.
Uh-huh.
But it was really good.
You have to bring out the CSI team to see if there's any bugs crawling in your foo young.
But I have to ask this question, Kevin, and this is what's really puzzling to me. If there was enough in there to go back for seconds,
yes.
Why didn't you just wrap it up and put it in the refrigerator for leftovers? Why'd you throw it away? I can understand throwing the trash away from your Chinese food because there's nothing left to eat and you don't want to smell up the house. Right. But if there's enough food in there to eat, why is it not in the fridge?
In general, the second day, the Chinese food doesn't get eaten in my house. That's
really?
Why.
Okay.
So I just figured,
maybe you should be sure you're through with it on the first day first before you start throwing stuff out.
And I opened up the first one, and it was fine, of course, because it was closed.
So you did your bug check. You did your bug check on your food.
The second one that was a jar, I did my bug check.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of just thumbed through it a little bit, and I looked, and I didn't see anything. I didn't see any bugs or, any dirt.
Right? You didn't run it down the lab?
Didn't. I don't really have a lab.
Okay.
I put it on my plate, and right. I ate it.
That isn't good for you.
How long had the food been out in the outside trash?
15 or 20 minutes, maybe.
But this is the outside trash we're talking about. This isn't the waste basket in the kitchen.
Right.
But it is just his outside trash.
But it's the outside trash, Lisa. Think about what you throw out on this course of a week. And then think about what you would not want touching the food you're going to eat right then a week ago that's been rotting out there.
But it wasn't
a
week ago. The things you throw away.
No, but the food it's been sitting with was out there for a week or more.
Say that again.
The things that you throw away in that trash, are they bagged?
No. But they come in one of those like plastic covered things, one of which was closed and one of which wasn't. And there was, I didn't see, I looked pretty closely. Yeah. I didn't see anything bad in it.
Well, with your vision, I'm sure you see all sort of microbes and diseases that it could be carrying.
Heat it back up.
Listen.
Down it
listen.
Goes.
Are we or are we not civilized human beings?
Did Kevin do the right thing?
No. We're not animals. We don't eat out of the garbage, okay?
But I put
once you
it
throw
there.
It out, it's gone. Right. So say goodbye and get yourself a sandwich. Do something else. But eat something else that's not been tainted.
But it seemed like it would be really... I needed more of what I had. Something else wouldn't have worked.
You're a child.
No, I'm just asking.
You are a
you
child.
You wouldn't have done that.
No, I would have gotten something else to eat.
Lisa?
I have fished cake back out of the trash.
Cake!
Now, it's my trash in my house.
Oh, in the house.
But...
Shoot. You didn't go out to the dumpster and bring the cake back?
There was stuff in there. And I have to support you.
That you would have done it!
I would have done it.
In the outside trash.
Yes.
All right.
It was my outside trash, and it looked okay. But and
we
it's
know
20 minutes.
Lisa's relationship with food is not all
it's not
could
healthy.
Be. Yeah, it really isn't all it could be.
I admit that.
I'm Being, saying.
You're a dumpster diver.
No, I'm 100% in the garmy on this one. There's
what?
No, outside trash is a deal breaker. I'm sorry. That's the trash can where you put dog poop. You know, I mean that just
excellent point.
There's no way. It's totally different than something that's on the top of your inside trash in your kitchen.
You
absolutely not.
Drink sour milk.
You do. You
but that comes
chocolate.
Out of his fridge.
It comes out of my
but
fridge, not
sour.
Out of the trash.
Disgusting.
It's sour to begin with.
But at least it's out of his fridge.
Muggs, you're
at least
got
I know where
back.
It's been.
Muggs has my back.
Oh, of course he does. Muggs eaten other people's garbage cans.
He wouldn't have even checked for bugs. He would have just started eating it in the trash.
He just would have crawled in and eaten whatever he ran across.
Right? You got my back.
All I gotta say is that's not brown. Brown rice?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you
we
work
went to
on
him.
That?
I'm sorry we went to him.
Sorry we went to him as well.
Man. Yeah.
So we got one yes and it's Lisa.
Yeah, you don't want me on your side, right?
And the other one is beer mugs. We're just going to disqualify because that was a dumb statement.
Yeah.
So no is
don't you own a dog? You have a dog, don't you?
Yeah.
So there's odds are there were
it's possible
doggy bags in there and not the ones you bring home from a restaurant.
Right, it's possible, but it was relatively closed.
There's no way a bug can get through that.
That's what the Center for Disease Control recommends when you're trying to keep something clean. Just as long as it's relatively closed.
Game Did on. Kevin do the right thing?
So yes, is what
no!
you saw.
No.
What if the Chinese food had been in the outside trash for an hour? Would you still have gone dumpster diving for it? Do you have any kind of a cutoff time at all?
Look, if he's willing to eat it out of the outside garbage, he obviously doesn't have a cutoff time. He's
I would
not
have
thinking it through that much.
I would have done the check. You know, I would have looked.
Uh-huh. Does an amount of time pass before you won't even go check? Like if it's 2 hours, if it's a month? I mean, where do
well,
you draw the line?
Yeah, a month.
What if there had been some other piece of garbage in there but was solid and could have been easily removed?
In I don't
the
know how to answer all of this.
In the partially opened carton.
I probably would have eaten around it.
Fished it out, right? Like an orange peel or something. You could just grab that and pull that out.
Come on. I can't be the only person that's ever done that.
No, I know many homeless people who have done it. You're not the only person at all. I know lots of people who live on the streets who have dined just like that.
Yeah. Very few who could actually afford to call a Chinese place to have to deliver food to their home, though.
Yeah,
very few of those
very
people.
Few.
It's funny, I did
all
ask
right.
that question on Twitter, and it came back resoundingly the same way.
Huh.
How about that?
I think that's how they did the Kardashian wedding. They just rolled up some some trash cans and just let people go fishing through and just make your own hors d'oeuvres.
All right, final look at the Showbiz Beat now here on a Monday, Kevin and Bean Show. Time for Ralph Garvin.
I'm glad you mentioned that it's Monday, Bean, because that means it's top 10 movies at the box office time. The Help, $20.5 million, made it number one this weekend. Then Rise of the Planet of the Apes, $16.3 million. Spy Kids 4D, and its debut made $12 million. That was number three at the box office. Not a big box office weekend in general. No big money makers. I mean, the Help only made a little over $20 million. Yeah. That was the biggest movie at the box office this weekend. Conan, in his debut, $10.5 million.
It looks freaking awesome. I mean, I really can't wait to see this movie on Friday, and you should too. Conan the Barbarian.
Being said last week.
And being lied last week.
Oh. How was it?
Well, I haven't gone as such yet, but I intend to.
I got
to
tweet Rachel Nichols this. She's going.
Oh, please don't.
She's
going
to be shocked.
Please don't.
I will.
No, don't.
Let's all tweet.
Come on.
Yeah, I'll tweet her too.
I'm
going to
go. Maybe today. I might go today.
Here's love for you. Yeah. Not going to your movie. That's what
Let's all tweet her that. Yeah.
I adore Rachel. You guys know that. I was
very busy. Everybody that's listening, tweet Rachel Nichols that.
How dare you?
You love her unless it inconveniences you in any way, and then the love goes out the window.
If her movie was playing in your house,
you would maybe see it.
You would have seen it.
Do I get any kind of, in my defense,
nope.
I was recovering from surgery this weekend, I didn't do much?
Nope. Okay. Because every weekend you say that about a movie, or every other weekend, and then you don't go.
Yeah. And you pulled your stitches out lifting a bale of hay or something, but you wouldn't go sit in a comfortable movie theater.
It's no reflection on the way I feel about Miss Nichols. You guys know that.
It has to be. It has to be. How could it not be a reflection?
I'm going to go see your reflection. I'm going to go see your movie.
Topless.
He's not going.
You're not going.
He's not going.
Conan was fourth. Fright Night was fifth in its debut, $8.3 million. Then The Smurfs, Final Destination 5, 30 minutes or less. One Day, the new Anne Hathaway movie, made $5 million.
Ouch. Oh, my gosh.
And Crazy Stupid Love was 10th at the box office this weekend. Those wacky Gallagher brothers are at it again. The former Oasis brothers are taking the band's breakup to court. What? Apparently, Liam is suing Noel for saying that what wound up being the band's final gig at the V Festival in 2009 was canceled because Liam had a hangover. That's what Noel said publicly.
Right.
Liam claims he had laryngitis caused by vomiting because he drank so much. No, I'm kidding. Noel said that he and Liam got into a huge fight because Liam wanted to advertise his pretty green clothing line in the tour program, and Noel wouldn't allow that. Yeah. Liam says there was never even a discussion about that, let alone an argument. So Liam is saying that the lawsuit is not about the money. He wants a full apology and retraction from Noel so that the fans will know the truth.
These are two brothers who, before Oasis even, were just jackasses to each other.
A couple of petty douchebags.
They really were.
What this really, I think, is about is Liam's new band, BDI, is not selling any records. Noel's got a new solo album coming out next month, so this may be Liam's way of trying to jam it to his brother.
Turns out Noel is the songwriter.
Do you think? More music news. Bono wants to know he's okay.
All right.
He is all right.
That's good.
Remain calm.
I didn't know.
All is well.
But what happened?
Well, the Irish Independent newspaper reported that Bono had chest pains over the weekend while on vacation in the south of France and was taken to a local hospital.
Okay.
Bono said he's fine. He did go to the hospital, but it was only for a routine checkup because he had eaten some Chinese food out of a garbage can outside where he was staying. In retrospect, thought he may want to go in and get checked because that's how you get worms.
It's pretty clean.
Was not clean.
Pretty clean.
Was in the garbage.
I said pretty clean.
Ugh.
Come on, Ralph. You would have done that.
No, I wouldn't have.
Come on.
Kardashian wedding, of course, was a big event this weekend. 440 of their closest celebrity acquaintances were there.
Yeah.
Eva Longoria, Ryan Seacrest, Lindsay, Dina, and Ali Lohan, Avril Lavigne, Babyface, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Did they just invite all celebrities?
Pretty much. Gee, the story was great. Bruce Jenner's family, a big chunk of it was disinvited.
Yeah.
Because they thought they just had too many people on the guest list. So Jenner, the most disposable of all the Kardashians, got on the short end of the stick, and he couldn't bring his extended family. But then Ellen DeGeneres tweeted that she was upset because she hadn't been invited. So Kim Kardashian said, okay, all right, you can come, Ellen DeGeneres.
Unbelievable.
Person I don't know from television.
Oh, my God.
You know, Jenner's just like slapping his plastic surgery face, saying, what? Come on.
He's been doing that since he met that family.
Yeah, poor bastard.
It is sad to see, and a lot of people may not realize, that he was an American Olympic hero.
Yes.
He was one of the badass guys of all time. But now you look at him, and it's like looking at Muhammad Ali as a boxer now. You know, it's just so sad to see him just broken.
For a long time, I had his Wheaties box.
Oh, you kept it?
Yeah, I kept it. Yeah, I thought someday that'd be a collectible. I don't know what I threw it out or something. Yeah. Kevin was eating out of it, out of my garbage. But for those who remember that Olympiad, he was the man.
Yep.
What was it, 10 gold medals?
Well, it was
That's Spitz I'm thinking of. He was the decathlon. He was the decathlon winner. That's what it was, yeah. It's unbelievable.
And then, of course, events.
Don't forget, Can't Stop the Music, the movie he did with the Village People. That's where he really made his
mark.
Don't
know that one.
Oh, you've never seen Can't Stop the Music?
Sounds like I need to, though.
Oh, sweet Jesus. You have to see that. It's magical.
Sounds bad.
The Village People movie with Bruce Jenner.
Love it.
That has everything.
I think Susan Anton may be in it, too. I'm not sure.
God. I'm in.
You got to check it out. It's hilarious.
But this whole thing with the Kardashians is far more embarrassing than a Village People movie.
Anything. Yes, anything he could have done. He could have...
poor bastard. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kristen Wiig of Saturday Night Live and the smash hit movie Bridesmaids. 38 today. Happy birthday, Kristen. Ty Burrell from Modern Family celebrates his 44th birthday. Tori Amos, talented singer-songwriter. She is 48 years old. I think Tori's sexy.
Yeah, I do too.
I have not been belling
her.
I
know, and I've been thinking quietly that maybe she deserves just give her a little tepid bell.
She's got that porcelain skin and the red hair and everything. I really like that look, and I think she
does make love to the piano when she plays, that's for sure.
She humps the hell out of that piano.
Yeah. There you go.
There we go. Bill Parcells, football legend, turned 70 years old.
Yeah, he's
a good-looking fella. And that guy from Lost, who played Mr. Echo on Lost, he was also on Oz.
What's
very
his name?
Talented actor. Let me see if I can get this correct. Let me try it.
Adewale Akinoye Agbaje.
Yeah, there we go. He turns 44 years old today.
Didn't sound like your voice at all.
I tried to do it in the native accent. Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have comedian Dan Levy in the studio. We have Rob Dyrdek on the program. We have Mr. Skin in studio.
There it is.
Bean's never been more excited. He has such a man crush on him.
Because he's one of the best people in the history of the world ever. That's why.
He's just a guy that posts pictures of naked chicks. That's all he does, man.
But he does it better than anyone's ever done it before.
Highlights of repo games.
We can ask him whether that's really Rachel Nichols' boobs in Conan the Barbarian or not, by the way. He's the guy who would know.
Yeah. You wouldn't because you didn't go.
Yeah. I love her.
And we also have your tickets. And, by the way, I believe it's the last chance to get tickets for the Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.